Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Buenos dias, señorita.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The Salmonella investigation has turned hot. Hot as a jalapeno.
The FDA told reporters on a conference call it finally has a real lead.
We've had a significant break in the Salmonella investigation.
The FDA's David Acheson said the suspicious pepper came from a distribution plant in McAllen, Texas.
One of the jalapeno pepper samples has tested positive.
The new FDA warning applies only to fresh peppers.
This recommendation doesn't include processed, cooked, or pickled jalapeno peppers. It is just related to fresh peppers.
He said the pepper was grown in Mexico, but said that doesn't necessarily mean Mexico was the source of the outbreak. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Barack Obama's fact-finding in Iraq, his meetings with Iraqi leaders, his briefings with U.S. military commanders are over.
This way, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Next, he's on to Amman, Jordan, and Israel. After the Middle East, Obama goes to Europe. John McCain says Obama is finally hearing from the troops on the ground that the surge worked. Iraqi officials say they like the 16-month troop withdrawal plan if it's subject to success on the ground, if the 16 months is a goal, not a deadline, and if the Iraqis make the decision. Barack Obama is hiring a liaison to the Muslim community, where many feel he's turned his political back on his Muslim family roots.
The rumors themselves and the denial suggest that there's something wrong with being a Muslim, and so this person's job is going to be, I think, in large part, to sort of try to smooth some of those ruffled feathers.
Ben Smith at Politico.com. The man who was the leader of the Serbs during the war, Radovan Karadzic, is in custody. This from the early or the late 90s, when NATO sided with the Muslims in the fight.
Why they take one side in a civil war? And I do think that they have created a precedent that may endanger world peace.
Karadzic's Serb forces killed untold thousands of Muslims in what was branded as an effort to eradicate them from the country. He's been on the run in Serbia since 1998. Buyouts are being offered again at Ford as of the 28th of this month in Michigan and Ohio. And auto analyst John McElroy says
they can go back on a plant-by-plant basis and start offering buyouts for the people that are there. And I think at this point they're going to have a lot more takers because people see the writing on the wall.
With Tropical Storm Dolly seemingly headed for the South Texas coast near Mexico, Lisa Masso at the Home Depot in Brownsville says people are already stocking up.
Plywood, tarps, flashlights, batteries, water, gas cans, extension cords for the generators.
So where can you cut back on expenses when gasoline and food take so much of your budget? The vast majority of people tell a Deloitte survey they'll spend less for going back to school. The kids could get along with last year's school backpack. The new wardrobe can wait. Has to. On Wall Street, the Dow down 29 points, NASDAQ off 3. Oil prices more than $131 a barrel. That's up more than $2. This is CBS News.
It's rush hour. The bus is packed. You've got a seat, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 14 more stops to go.
Oh, I should have used...
Wait, you already know you should have used Preparation H. But for extra relief, use Preparation H medicated wipes first. Unlike most ordinary wipes that just clean, Preparation H medicated wipes relieve while you clean. Then apply your Preparation H.
Move to the back, please.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H medicated wipes.
From Preparation H, the relief expert. Use as directed.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W!
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W! Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
Dozens of visitors to see President Bush at the Rose Garden today, and not an ounce of fat in the whole bunch.
Though his plans to attend the Olympics next month in Beijing are controversial, President Bush told members of Team USA that he can't wait.
Lauren, I look forward to joining you for the Olympics. I'm fired up to go.
Some world leaders are boycotting the games to protest China's harsh crackdown on religious freedom in Tibet. But in the Rose Garden, Mr. Bush told U.S. Olympians that they will represent America's love for freedom and regard for human rights and human dignity. Mark Knoller, CBS News, The White House.
Two men in Monroe, Washington have been arrested for burglarizing a department store. They stole all kinds of household goods, and you know how it's got to be. It's tiring work, especially when you're drunk. And the hammock and that pile of pillows look so soft and comfortable. Police followed a trail of empty boxes and found their sleeping bandits. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Bomb.
In 1996, Carl Lewis defied Father Time by taking home the gold in the long jump. You, on the other hand, defied physics and strained your back with some crazy yoga pose intended to catch the eye of a young lady. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, what else would you call a place that can save you hundreds when you switch? And even more if you're a good driver. You see, at Progressive, you're rewarded for slowing down at yellow lights, using your directional, and yes, yielding at yield signs. Sounds utopian. Did I mention this music is played by actual angels with harps? Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Fields, Ohio. Prices vary based on age.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Oh, yeah.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Another Radio Nowhere broadcast emanating from San Francisco. Can you handle it? Welcome to a fresh edition of the PBC Show. Bouncing off the satellite. Lots to talk about on today's program. Great people to talk with. Kevin Danaher is right here in our secret studio. He'll join me in a moment. Coming up next hour, Cliff Schechter in his weekly appearance with the latest on the McCain campaign. He's the author of The Real McCain. And the heavy duties of blogging have led to a change in operations. He'll tell you about that coming up about an hour from now. And one of those kangaroo court operations has just gotten underway at Gitmo. The trial of the guy alleged to be Osama's driver, Salim Hamdan. Ross Tuttle from The Nation will join us. And we're going to talk about a guy named Hartman, not my friend the radio host, but General Tom Hartman, who has his whole fist, not just a thumb, but his whole fist on the scales of justice, such as they are at Guantanamo Bay. We're going to take a look at the battle in Sacramento over the budget and the governor's pledge of no new taxes. We ought to set up a pool on the day when he actually eats those words, because it's going to happen and he knows it. John Laird is chair of the Assembly's Budget Committee. He'll be with us in our 5 o'clock hour Pacific time today. We're also going to hear briefly from a man who has been working on artistic renderings of what impeachment will look like. And that kicks off our week-long coverage. Elizabeth Holtzman, who is part of the impeachment efforts against Richard Nixon, will kick off our show tomorrow. Dennis Kucinich will be with us on Wednesday, and we are angling to also talk to Republican Bruce Fein, who is scheduled to testify before John Conyers' Judiciary Committee, and those hearings which are impeachment light, or something like that. Well, we're going to see if we can get a train rolling that can't get stopped. And that's my goal this week. I hope you will conspire with me to do that. And at the end of the show tonight, Gary Chu is going to join us, our film reviewer from Sacramento. And we're going to talk about that new HBO series called Generation Kill. I've seen part of one episode so far. It's ongoing, and we'll get Gary's comments on that coming up. You can call this program anytime, and we pay for the call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if we're not in agreement, you know, like that Give Me Hillary or Give Me Death lady on Friday, you can address it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. It'll reach me. Kevin Danaher is seated comfortably across from me, and he is on a crash program to edit his book, which is coming out this fall. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, great to be here. Nice, comfortable chairs.
Well, welcome to my little lair. And we only ask that you not disclose the location, because so far no wayward listener has knocked on that door and said, "Oh, I didn't know you were here!"
With hand grenades strapped to their chests, no doubt.
Kevin most recently is co-author of Building the Green Economy, Success Stories from the Grassroots, and you have just completed another successful green festival, this time in Seattle.
Yeah, we're up to five now. We're doing D.C., Chicago, San Francisco, Seattle, and the new one that we're adding this coming spring is Denver, in the same building that the Democratic National Convention is going to be in. And our green team that does the recycling and composting for the green festivals is greening the DNC.
Well, that's cool. We're going to be there on Radio Row for the Democratic Convention at the end of August.
I'll be a floor manager managing the garbage.
We're going to be there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be a floor manager.
Well, come on by Radio Row, and we'll let you take out the trash there, too.
Cool. Well, I'll look forward to it. It'll be great. It's going to be a big party.
Kevin, there's so much to talk with you about. In some ways, it's a little hard to know where to start. So let's start with global exchange. What do you do there, and what are the exciting agenda items underway right now?
Well, we're actually celebrating our 20th anniversary. Hard to imagine. It's been 20 years in this September 18th. We're having a big celebration in San Francisco. And we started, there were three of us, my wife, Medea Benjamin, Kirsten Moeller, our executive director, myself, and we had all had our hearts broken traveling in Africa, Asia, Latin America, seeing just incredible poverty and kids that were like our kids, but that we knew they would never get a chance to be literate because there was no local school and they didn't have shoes and all that kind of stuff. And oftentimes they were growing the coffee beans or cocoa or whatever that we were eating or feeding to our kids. And we thought, wait a minute, this is just wrong. And most American people are decent people. If they knew what's going on, they'd be for changing it. So we said, let's set up an organization that will educate the American people, or edumacate, as the president would say, about what's really going on in the world and what is our responsibility. So we didn't want to just publish books. We do books and that standard traditional stuff. But we set up reality tours where we take people out to other countries. We go to over 40 destinations, mostly Africa, Asia, Latin America, the Caribbean, the Global South, and particularly countries affected by U.S. policy, Cuba, Venezuela, Mexico, Brazil, India, Vietnam, China. And with a reverse Club Med approach, get your butt off the beach, meet real people, go out and look at the development projects, the literacy campaigns. There's all this positive stuff going on and being done by people who like us. They don't want to be our enemy. They don't like our corporations. They don't like our government foreign policy, but they love us as Americans. They love our science, our colleges, our music, our culture. And so it's an attempt to educate the American people about how do we make a transition from being an empire to being just a nation and a community of nations, a good neighbor. So we have fair trade stores. We're now up to 7 fair trade stores where we sell craft products mostly that are made by a handicapped group in Kenya, a women's group in El Salvador, a peasant group in Indonesia. These are people who don't want charity. They don't want to go begging with knee pads to the Ford Foundation. They want to use enterprise. They want to sell something. But the markets are so dominated by big corporations that it's hard for them to penetrate. So we bring their stuff in, we sell it, and send them the profits because we're a nonprofit. I only need to make 1 cent profit for us to be okay. So,
and end to end, you work for economic fairness, where they get a fair price for the product that they exported, and that the store is operated where people get a fair wage.
Exactly. What we're trying to do is create a triple bottom line economy where social justice, environmental restoration, and financial sustainability are integrated integrated and linked and strengthening each other. It's not reservoirs where you got to take away from the financial to do the social and the environmental. It's more like muscles. They strengthen each other through their interaction. So we have a simple triple grid where we say, okay, here's the social justice piece, here's the environmental piece, here's the financial piece. How do they cross-fertilize each other and strengthen each other?
And so do you consider yourself a capitalist?
I would call it, I prefer, instead of green capitalism, I prefer eco-socialism, where you put a floor underneath people and you put a lid on top. If we had a, you know, every nation as it develops, develops a minimum wage. Well, now we have a global economy, so shouldn't we have a global minimum wage? And while we're at it, we could have a global maximum wage. I did a bumper sticker years ago. It says global minimum wage, global maximum wage. So let's say the minimum was $10,000 a year. That sounds low, but for most people in the world, that would be a huge increase. And let's say the maximum was $10 million. Could you get by on $10 million a year?
Yeah,
I could get by on that. Now
I'd have to make some cuts, but
yeah, right. There would be people who would fight like hell to prevent there being a $10 million a year maximum wage. Oh, it might stifle creativity. Look, if your creativity is going to get stifled by having a $10 million limit on your annual income, you got a coke habit or you got something bad going on in your life, you know. It's like that thing, cocaine is God's way of telling you you have too much money, you know. And so it's about trying to interject some rationality in the system to say, let's take enterprise and change it from, change the definition of free enterprise from the freedom of big corporations to do whatever they want to people and planet to the freedom of everyone to be enterprising. In order to be free to do enterprising, you have to have some capital. When you go around and you interview these poor people around the world and you ask them what they want startup capital. They want money to buy a cow so they can sell milk on the street corner or buy tools to repair houses or whatever.
It's not micro loans, we call
them. Exactly. And actually, the Grameen Bank model started in Bangladesh by Muhammad Yunus, brilliant guy, won the Nobel Peace Prize. It's the most successful development project in the world because he realized, look, it's called capitalism. If you don't have capital, you can't play the game. It's like trying to sit down at a poker game and not having any money. And we're not going to deal you cards if you can't ante up. So there's a recognition that it's not enterprise that's bad. It's that enterprise has been taken over and monopolized by big corporations. So if, like in our stores, our tours, our events, our book publishing, what we say is two questions. Did you exploit people or nature in the making of the money? And then once you make that profit, where does it go? Is it into your pocket for your third mansion and 15th car? Or does it go back into the education work? And as long as Triton's right, there's nothing wrong with enterprise.
Very interesting. Kevin Danaher is with us this hour. He's a co-founder of Global Exchange. He directs the Green Festivals. We'll talk more about Green Festivals. And also, he's working on so many interesting different projects that all dovetail into what people call the green economy of the future and the green workforce. And it's fascinating, so I invite you to stay tuned. And if you have a question or a comment, or you're working in your very own green zone and you'd like to check in with us, well, welcome. You can call us toll-free this hour at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls are subject to monitoring by social security for kids like Obama.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow. Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Kevin Danaher, co-founder of Global Exchange, is with us here in the studio this hour. Your calls and comments, welcome. 888-5-PETER-B.
To you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
Kevin, you were early on the curve of this whole green thing. Green Festival is now, what, 7, 8 years old?
Seventh year, yeah.
Yeah. And how do we as consumers separate greenwashing from something that is really verde? I TiVo the public television news hour every night, and I always fast forward past that Chevron greenwashing ad. But I'm very aware of it. And, you know, you look in a magazine or newspaper, and everybody's green now.
Right.
And so how do we tell faux green from the real thing?
Well, first, the positive side of it is that they're admitting that we were right. That we're right. Those of us who are out there, the hippies, the tree huggers. Yeah, well, it turns out that we need those trees. They create oxygen for us by absorbing carbon dioxide. Duh. Mm-hmm. So all these companies now, oh, we plant trees. Yeah, okay, so you're tree huggers now, right? The same thing that you were denouncing us for, now you're embracing. So there's a positive element to it that, you know, Walmart and all these companies are realizing that there are ways in which they can not only get PR mileage, but they can save money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening throughout the economy, and you see it in the business press. You see it in terms of the venture capital industry. It's all going into renewable energy and stuff like that. Now, the negative part that you bring up is how do I, as a consumer, know? The simplest way right now is if you go to coopamerica.org, there's a publication that Co-op America puts out called the National Green Pages. It's a directory of about 250 pages, and it's got all the green companies that they have certified under their system, which is very, very tight screen for social justice, treatment of workers, treatment of customers, stakeholders, blah, 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 and the environment. It's out of that body of about 4,000 companies that we select the Green Festival companies of about 400 mm-hmm. that come and exhibit at the Green Festival. Mm-hmm. So it's filtered again. Now we're going to filter it again in a green retail store we're doing called Village Green that we're going to set up over the next year. And we also have a building in Second Life that we're going to filter again and put those green companies, so there'll be an online three-dimensional eco mall that anybody in the world can go to for free. Mm-hmm. We'll probably open it to the public around November. We're just, you know, tricking out the software so your avatar can walk through and click and drag products into a virtual shopping basket mm-hmm. and then go to checkout and the orders go out.
Are all solar panels the same?
No.
Does it matter who I buy it from and what kind it is?
Totally. So here it does matter very much. What you want to do is you want to go to somebody like Solar Living Institute up in Hopland. They've been installing since the 1970s. They've got almost 40 years of experience doing this stuff, and they're coming from a very radical place. They didn't start the operation to get rich. They did it because they believed we had to make a transition to renewable energy, and they have the Real Goods store. They put out the Solar Living Source Book, which is like about a 1,000-page massive book with all the green technology in one place. But you want somebody that's tried and tested. They do about 350 solar installations per year. So they know all the tricks. They know all the tax, state tax rebate, federal tax rebate. There are companies like Sustainable Spaces in San Francisco where they will come in and analyze your building, whether it's residential or commercial. They'll go through, hook up all this fancy equipment, and it might be that you don't need solar panels. You need to plug up your ductwork. There's a space underneath your house that's leaking air, whatever. And they have no interest in selling you anything other than the service of telling you how to get the maximum energy efficiency from your building. And you make changes that you'll, in a few years, you'll get that money back. Mm-hmm. Just like a typical solar system, it'll pay for itself in 6 to 12 years, depending mm-hmm. on the size in your house.
So is anybody doing critical analysis? Is there a greenquacks.org?
Well, there is, in the sense that the Green Festival, we filter out. I'll give you an example. We had, for years, we had Burt's Bees was one of our exhibitors. Burt's Bees got bought by Clorox, and we said, well, you know, sorry, you're now owned by a poison company that makes chlorine and dioxin as two of its major products. You can't be in the Green Festival anymore. We get a letter from the head of Clorox saying, hey,
we bought this company.
Could we meet? Could we talk? You know, so it's an interesting model in that it used to be Global Exchange has done a lot of corporate accountability. We were the ones who trashed Nike and, you know, redefined them as the sweatshop shoe company. We forced Starbucks to start buying fair trade certified coffee beans, et cetera. When you pressure a company through peeing on their brand and giving them a bad name, they come to the table for the meeting begrudgingly, and they're mad at you. Now, with this green economy stuff, and then we got the biggest green event in the country, they come to you with a different attitude, like, hey, can we be part of your party?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a good thing. That really shows that things are shifting. Now, obviously, you got to be careful. You got to be real critical. But I think that we need to change our attitude on the left. The assumption was always, if you have a relationship with a corporation, they will co-opt you. And now we're starting to realize, no, we can co-opt them. Our values are superior values. And if we figure out ways to make money and do social justice and the environment at the same time, that's a winner.
That's what I call an inside agitator.
Yeah.
Kevin Danaher with us. You can join us. Global Exchange. He's co-founder of that organization, and he directs the Green Festivals. We'll give you more information on that after the break. 888-573-8372. That's my number, toll-free, here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
For
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Science marches on, including medicine, of course, and every day, with great medical journals as the source, the news reports developments of one kind or another, affecting everything and everybody and his brother. Some are major breakthroughs, but most are rather small, some unimportant and hardly worth mentioning at all. Yet science grows in increments, and sometimes worth relating simply because people find them simply fascinating. Today, it's not about some awful illness you might catch, but why it is for you and me that when we itch, we scratch. That compelling story after this for Walgreens. Why fill your prescriptions at different pharmacies when you could enjoy the convenience and the peace of mind that comes with filling every one of them at Walgreens? You see, Walgreens has thousands of pharmacies nationwide, and they're all connected, so you can pick up a refill at any one of them. Plus, they screen for interactions with prescriptions that you may have filled at any Walgreens, and that's true of anything else that you tell them about. To take advantage of some of the great services like these, all you have to do is transfer your prescriptions to Walgreens. Show them your prescription bottles, and they'll take care of the rest.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Instead of paying more for car insurance, you'd rather pay less. Call you crazy, but for some strange reason, you like saving money. And guess what? With things like money-saving rates, multi-car discounts, and good driver discounts, GEICO's always looking for ways to lower what you pay for great car insurance. Huh. Guess you can call us crazy, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
There's a reason why we want to scratch, a simple reason, which is that we are programmed in our brains to scratch when something itches. At Wake Forest in Winston-Salem, Dr. Gil Yusupovich and his colleagues, we hail them, they scratched 13 healthy people with a soft brush on the leg at 30-second intervals to find some way to peg which parts of the brain the nerve's messages are catching to create the urge when something itches for us to begin scratching. They used functional magnetic resonance to determine which units of the brain feel pain and which determine itch. It turns out the anterior and posterior cingulate cortexes are parts that trigger this response in both the human sexes, scratching increased activity in the secondary pain centers and in the prefrontal cortex where compulsion often enters. Since the people were not scratching to an actual itch, this soft brushstroke there is an annoyance part of which people tended to continue after it was gone. So we learn something every day as science marches on. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Don't do this in a crowded theater. But pay attention to Michael Fronte here. He wants you to yell fire. Kevin Danaher is in the studio with his co-founder of Global Exchange, a leader in green development.
never comes a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Bring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Oh no, it only happens to bad guys.
See the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow. Free peace, and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a pop up pill culture. Drugs companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire!
Kevin Danaher is co-author of Building the Green Economy, Success Stories from the Grassroots. It's out there in renewable resource paperback. He also has written extensively about the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And I want to take a little detour to talk about the global economic meltdown that's underway.
Yeah.
And the extent to which this rush to globalization that started in the 80s and picked up its pace under Clinton in the 90s and, you know, has been unfettered since, we're really seeing the slapback from it. And, of course, the American media is willing to report the credit crunch and the mortgage crisis, but they are very careful to parse it in ways that don't suggest an international condition that has been driven by our own greed and our desire to use globalization to extract as much profit in as short a period of time as possible, Kevin.
And it's much deeper and much more of a systemic crisis than they want to let on. If you go back and you look at the history of the United States, up until around the 1920s, the major source of funding of our federal government was tariffs. It was taxation of foreign-produced products. As U.S. companies get bigger and they start to go global and start to move their factories abroad and then want to bring that stuff back in to sell it here, they start doing all this free market talk. Free market. Get rid of the tariffs. Tariffs are like sand in the gears of commerce. You don't want to stop these cheap products from coming to you. And what they do is they lower the tax rate. Well, notice they call it tariffs. They don't call it taxes on transnational corporations. They give it a code name and nobody knows. You ask people, what's a tariff? I don't know, like customs duties, so they lower the taxes on transnational corporations and raise them. They bring in the income tax in the 1920s. They start taxing small business, start taking bites out of us here and there. So, you know, if these people, the Republicans or somebody, are, oh, taxes are bad, well, let's analyze the taxes. Let's pull it apart and let's see who's not carrying their share of the burden. So what you find is there's a structural tendency under modern capitalism, there's a structural tendency for government to go bankrupt. Corporations get bigger, they get more able to move their profits offshore, but they also are better able to demand payments from the government in the form of corporate welfare, tax breaks, incentives, subsidies, all this. So you have a tendency of the government to go bankrupt, and they fill that gap with debt. And they keep issuing debt. It gets bought by the government in China. It gets bought by God knows who, and then you start to see the dollar go down. The current balance of payments deficit, balance of payments is all the money coming in and all the money going out. We are running over $2 billion a day negative on our balance of payments. Now, you can't keep doing that forever. That's like having a deck in your backyard with a post. The post is the real economy. The deck is the debt. And you keep cantilevering that debt out. Eventually, it collapses. And that's what we're seeing right now. There are hundreds of trillions of dollars in fake assets in the derivatives market out there with nothing underneath it. And that's why the federal government is coming in to bail out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the big mortgage lenders, which are private, and it's our tax money going to bail them out. So the big guys get bailed out. Us little guys, tough luck.
Yeah. Capitalism for you.
Profits are privatized. Losses are socialized.
That's right. You socialize the costs, and you privatize the profits. That's their basic rule of thumb. And people are starting to wake up to that, and that's why I'm saying to people, I think that we're getting a political shift where the left-right thing doesn't work as much now as the up and down. Because there's a lot of people who call themselves conservatives, and I think we need to redefine conservative to mean what it really means, conserve.
But what do you want to do, ignite a class war? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, because think, if you said to the public, if you go out to a public audience and you say, let's have lesbian carpenters run the United States, people would say, look, no offense against lesbian carpenters, but they're a tiny percentage of the U.S. population. Old, rich, white, male, corporate lawyers are not a large percentage of the population. That's who's running our country. You have people controlling mass transit policy who never ride a bus, except for maybe a campaign bus. Well, that guarantees stupid policy. It's like breaking your thermostat with a hammer. If you don't have a feedback loop in the policy apparatus, you're going to get bad policy. So you have these people living in Washington who have socialism for the rich. They have subsidized cafeterias. When I lived in Washington, I always ate at the Supreme Court cafeteria because it was great food at a real cheap price because the taxpayers are paying for it, right? So they've got parking and daycare and great retirement benefits. They can vote themselves an increase in salary while we're out here in the capitalist world trying to struggle to survive. It's all screwed up. And that's why I think Barack Obama, other people that are saying change, change, we need change to have hope. That's why it's getting so much bounce in the public. Imagine if you'd gone in a bar 5 years ago and said, hey, 5 years from now there's going to be a black guy running for president who's not only going to be winning in the polls, but he'll be out fundraising the Republican. You know what kind of odds you could have gotten on that bet?
Yeah.
And yet, here it is. It's happening.
So, Kevin, as we try to transition to a greener economy and to identify the changes we need to make to save the planet, to prevent us from, you know, burning ourselves up here through global warming and the other obvious elements it contributes to, is there an opportunity to rewrite capitalism into a fairer system, as you described, with a floor and a ceiling, and really make it sustainable while maintaining, you know, some of the gimmicks and gizmos that the so-called free market people think they need?
Yeah, if you look at all the political parties, Republican, Democrat, Marxist, Leninist, Trotsky, whatever, they all use the same basic approach. You build up a political apparatus that eventually gets control of the government, and then the government reforms the economy from the top down. I'm saying reverse that whole process. Get the economy at the grassroots and build up from there so that when you eventually get state power, you've already reformed the economy and it's rooted in the community. Because if you and I go into any neighborhood in any city and you've got great analysis and a great critique of capitalism and I'm offering good green jobs, who's going to recruit more people? If you look at Tammany Hall, Boss Tweed, Mayor Daley's machine in Chicago, it was based on jobs. It was providing jobs to the working class. Guy comes in, hey, my cousin just came off a boat from Ireland. Can he get a job? Is he willing to work on a garbage truck? Yeah, sure, okay. But on election day, he'll walk the precinct and turn out the vote for the party, right? Sure. That was the deal. That was the quid pro quo. And I'm not proposing something that much patronage, but if we create good green jobs in the local green economy, because the local green economy is the opposite of the transnational corporation. Transnational corporation is not rooted in place, right? They'll move their factories to China in a heartbeat if it's profitable, and they're not green. A 2,000-year-old redwood tree is not a gift of the creator to be preserved for future generations to enjoy. It's $250,000 worth of lumber on the lumber market. Kill it. A fish swimming alive has no value. It's when you kill it and turn it into a marketable commodity. Well, that will destroy the biological basis of human existence, and that's what we're doing. And we're seeing the fact that now the top agenda item is how do we save humanity from itself, you know, one species among millions, and we're wiping out. Right now there are hundreds of species of frogs in Central America being exterminated by a fungus that used to get killed at night by the cold, but it's not cold enough at night anymore, and those frogs are being destroyed. We haven't even labeled or named those frogs yet. So if you believe in God, or anything like that? Do we have the right to destroy things that were made by this thing that you say is the creator of all things visible and invisible? You know, it seems like there's a little internal contradiction there that you might want to get straightened out.
Well, you know, with the end times coming, we got to chew up the planet as fast as we can.
End times, and your dentures will stay behind, your fillings. Heaven is a nudist camp to these people, right? All your clothes stay behind. Oh, it's a nudist camp. That sounds cool. But your fillings are going to fall out and stay behind.
Tell us a little bit about your plans for a Village Green and some of the other green building and development plans you have in San Francisco and elsewhere.
Well, when we started the Green Festival 7 years ago, it was actually an intermediate step. My original idea was a building, a large building, where the offices of environmental groups and green companies would be in the upper floors. The ground floor would be a green eco mall where all the green products were there. And then those offices would all be promoting the green retail space, and there'd be an event component of it with speakers and films and all, and it would be integrated. If you look at downtown office buildings, there's no integration between the offices and the ground floor retail. It's really dumb because the offices are putting out email, newsletter, website. They could all be saying come to the same address. The Green Festival, we have 400 exhibitors. They're all putting out outreach saying, hey, come see us this weekend at the Green Festival. We're in booth 227. I don't pay for that. It's convergence marketing. But what I realized when I had this building idea was I didn't know the green economy movement. All my books were about World Bank, IMF, World Trade Organization. So I figured if we did an event, a weekend event where we bring all these companies together, that would be the crawl in the crawl, walk, run. So now what we're working on is a space in San Francisco. It's a 36,000 square foot vacant lot that's owned by the school district. We're saying to the school district, give us a long-term lease. We'll build a $40 million building that combines green community development with retail, youth center, eco gym, where the stationary bicycles and rowing machines recharge the electric cars.
I think that is cool.
Right? Yeah. All that technology is simple.
It's I can work off my love handles and generate some power at the same time.
Well, when the earthquake takes the grid down, we'll still have cars because we're recharging our own cars and not dependent on a gas station or electric grid, whatever. So you have that whole commercial space, but then you also have housing that's affordable housing for teachers because the lot is owned by the school district. We have trouble in San Francisco with high housing costs. Teachers live out in the Central Valley, commute 2 hours to work. It's really stupid. You can knock $500 a month off their rent, and that's like about $8,000 or $9,000 a year because it's not taxed. So it's a very efficient way to remunerate teachers. They're getting educated about the green economy. They walk to work. It's a real estate model that I'm just shocked nobody's done it yet. So we have all these components in terms of relationship with the school district, the green festivals, contracts with the green companies, good relations with the school system. We just got a contract to do an environmental service learning program in the high schools of San Francisco. We have a contract with City College to help them develop their green careers track. We're talking to San Francisco State, the Green MBA program. And we want to create a green careers pipeline, high school, City College, State College, and then the green jobs. And you can say to the green companies, look, you spend a lot of money recruiting and training and retaining personnel. We'll do that for you, and then you can write us a tax-deductible donation of half the money we save you. Because you can't have a green economy without a green workforce. And it turns out that a lot of these green jobs, you don't need a college education. They're really well suited for people with barriers to employment, a prison record, single parent, dropped out of school, whatever. Because a lot of it is stuff like bike repair shops. Right? I mean, that's a green job. Mm-hmm. Solar panels, installing solar panels, retrofitting buildings. A lot of this stuff is easy to teach. It's not a technical problem mm-hmm. where you got to go to school for many years, although we are working with the colleges for those, you know, more professional level jobs. So the idea is create an event space that's a platform, brings everybody together, a retail space, a building real estate model, and a workforce, a green workforce development program, so that when that federal money starts to flow, which it will, to create green job training, we'll be ready with an institutional network ready to capture that money.
Kevin Danaher with me in the studio today. Lines open if you want to talk with him at 888-5-PETER-B. The Green Festivals are online at greenfestivals.org. November 8th and 9th in Washington, D.C. November 14th to 16th here in San Francisco. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 a.m. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Kevin Danaher is in the studio with me, and we're joined by Hal from Coos Bay, listening on KBBR. Hello, Hal. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Pretty good today. And you?
Oh, real good. Real good. Hi, Dan. Nice to meet you.
No, it's Kevin Danaher. Kevin is his first name.
Kevin. Uh-huh. Kevin Danaher, right. I, for the past 3 or 4 weeks, have been at my local coffee house. Partner and I have been starting green night meetings, green energy night meetings. And we are actually trying, you know, we live in a small community. Mostly a lot of these ideas aren't really to the forefront, but there is a lot of people scattered around the hills that...
Now, Hal, don't put yourself down. You folks have blocked an LNG terminal in North Bend for the last 3 years.
Barely. It's still, you know, being contested.
Okay, but it ain't there yet. Go ahead.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. I think probably what my main question is how can we get involved and learn more about how to do the type of the green, you know, especially I've been really curious on how to get green jobs started and how to get people, you know, like I'm working with a contractor and he's very interested in turning, you know, being mostly green-minded too. And, mm-hmm. Anyway.
Kevin, well, I think you get the idea. Yeah. He wants to be mentored.
Sure. The easiest way to do it would be to shoot me an email. It's just Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, at globalexchange.org.
And Global Exchange?
Globalexchange.org. Not Global Sex Change, Global Exchange. and that's another organization, probably. Different work. Much needed, I'm sure. And ask me for curriculum. We're developing some curriculum around if you wanted to be a CEO, a chief environmental officer of a company, if you wanted to train young people in, like, introduction to environmental studies, we have a Green Guardians. We're trying to create, like, a youth group, Green Guardians, that'll go around the neighborhood, greening the neighborhood. And we've got one that's about if you wanted to teach a course in a high school or a college on developing a sustainability plan for that school. And another website you want to check out is called New Rules, just like it sounds, N-E-W-R-U-L-E-S.
I think Bill Maher owns that.
.org. No, this is Institute for Local Self-Reliance. And what they do is they go around the United States picking up best practices all over the place.
NewRules.org.
NewRules.org. And there's another one called NatCap Solutions, like Natural Capital Solutions, NatCap. Solutions, natcapsolutions.org, where they've got a downloadable PDF that's, if you want to green your town, here are the things you need to do. And it's just step one, step two, step three. It's Hunter Lovins and a bunch of people with her Natural Capital Institute put it together. And it's free, you know. So there are all these resources out there. There's no – now the problem is there's so much stuff. So no matter where you are, as long as you have Internet access, you can grab this stuff.
Right, and I, you know, Peter B. and a lot of us progressives have been really worried lately about Obama's kind of, you know, move to the middle and all that. But lately, I kind of have been seeing that maybe it's slyer than we think. Maybe he's even smarter than we think because, you know, once he does get in, I think that it will be that idea that you had about working from the ground up.
Well, and we can just hope that when it comes to wiretapping, he'll be a kinder, gentler, eavesdropping kind of president. Thank you, Hal. Now to Grant in Pacific Grove, listening on KRXA. Hello, Grant.
Greetings.
Hi.
Hi. You know, I've had a long-standing criticism of our country and culture in that we've been, it seems, in my estimation, pretty poor at retraining and reabsorbing from an obsoleted business to a the next thing. And what I'm looking to do, the question I wanted to pose is there a website or email group or organization I could go to that is strategically sort of going across the board? And saying, okay, what's going to be phased out? How do we retrain them? The whole nine yards. I mean, is there anybody doing that?
Well, the largest network of green companies is the Co-op America Business Network. It's about 4,000 green companies spread across the country. And so if you go to coopamerica.org, there's a publication called the National Green Pages. It's about a 250-page directory, and it's broken down by state. So you can find the green companies. My approach to this is always go to people who are already doing it, who already know how to take old tires and make them into paving material or, you know, whatever the issue is, go to the people who are already doing it. And what you'll find is whatever sector of the economy you look at, there's a green version, there's a green alternative. And those green sectors are growing way faster and attracting more investment capital than the old brown, dying, nature-destroying economy.
Grant, thanks a lot for your call today. I want to jump to Joe in Sacramento. Hello, Joe. You're on with Kevin Danaher.
Oh, yeah. Hi, guys. Just two quick questions. I was wondering if you had any info on this new project that T. Boone Pickens, the oil guy, is involved with, if it's phony, if it's real, or how far along.
Well, he embraces wind power, and he's providing some of that wind all on his own.
And he's buying up a lot of water as well. 2 weeks ago, there was a long piece in Business Week. If you go back a couple weeks in Business Week and check it out, there's a detailed article in there that covers it pretty well. And it's a mixed bag. You know, he's buying up all these groundwater resources, which is scary, but he's throwing millions, millions, millions of dollars into wind, which is what's needed. We need to get to that tipping point. We're at a tipping point, actually, where electricity from wind is price competitive with electricity from fossil fuels. So that's a good point.
And your second item, Joe, quickly?
Yeah, real quick. When somebody puts solar panels on their house, I hear sometimes that they end up with a negative bill at the end of the month. What happens with that negative? Does it go back to, does the company actually pay, like PG&E pay you?
Yes. No, unfortunately, most states you can zero out your bill but you can't get money back. It'll go down to zero, but that's it. And that's an issue of state politics. We need to change that. They should be paying us the same amount we pay them if we put net positive back into the grid.
Well,
that's good enough.
Yeah.
Joe, I'm out of time, but thank you very much. Kevin Danaher, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
We'll talk again. And visit greenfestivals.org, and you can get more information. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Barack Obama and Iraqi leaders agree on a pullout timetable.
That upset the Bush administration, which is pushing for something much vaguer, a time horizon.
Hold off on that jalapeno. The FDA says it's got a big break in its salmonella investigation. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Barack Obama met in Baghdad today with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who indicates he's on the same page as the Democratic presidential candidate, a timetable of about 16 months for withdrawing U.S. combat troops. More from CBS News correspondent David Martin.
Conditions in Iraq have changed dramatically since Obama first proposed his timetable. 20,000 troops have been pulled out so far this year, and another 10,000 could be out by the time a new president takes office. Conditions have changed, but the military's view of a timetable has not.
The generals in the Bush administration say a pullout should be determined by conditions on the ground.
When you win wars, troops come home, and we are winning. And the fact is, if we'd have done what Senator Obama wanted to do, we would have lost. And we would have faced a wider war. And we would have had greater problems in Afghanistan and the entire region.
John McCain visited former President Bush in Kennebunkport, Maine today. Now this.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac. Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here. So you know what that means. It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this. Because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, or the classy CR-V for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back, and I'm knocking.
The Food and Drug Administration has a new clue in its effort to trace the source of the salmonella outbreak. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
The FDA is warning you should avoid eating fresh jalapeno peppers.
The positive sample was obtained during an inspection, and this was at a produce distribution center in McAllen, Texas.
The FDA's David Acheson said the jalapeno that tested positive was grown in Mexico, but he said investigators are still trying to determine the source of the salmonella.
FDA has presented the information to the firm, and a recall is now underway by that firm.
Officials say all tomatoes on the market are still safe to eat. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
One of the world's most wanted war crime suspects is in custody. Former Bosnian Serb leader Radovan Karadzic was arrested today by security forces in Serbia.
I think it's fair to say he's an evil man. Yeah, absolutely.
Clint Williamson is the State Department's ambassador at large for war crimes.
The most famous incident with which he's been connected, of course, is the mass killings which occurred in Srebrenica in the period right after July 11th, 1995, in which over 8,000 Muslim men and boys in the town of Srebrenica were murdered.
The UN War Crimes Tribunal described that slaughter as scenes from hell. Hello, Dolly. The tropical storm that's formed in the Gulf of Mexico could be a real problem.
Maximum sustained winds remain at around 50 miles per hour, but gradual strengthening is forecast, and Dolly is expected to become a hurricane within the next day or two before reaching the western Gulf of Mexico coast.
Dennis Felchin at the National Hurricane Center says a hurricane watch is posted on both sides of the Texas-Mexico border. There's a new tropical storm off Mexico's Pacific coast, but Genevieve is not expected to threaten land. Tropical storm Cristobal off the Carolinas is heading out to sea. CBS is off the hook for Janet Jackson's infamous wardrobe malfunction. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the story.
This is radio, so you're probably glad you can't see what happened here. Janet Jackson's breast was naked for 9/16 of a second, long enough for the FCC to fine CBS more than $500,000. Now a federal appeals court in Philadelphia is throwing out the fine, saying the agency suddenly and without notice changed a long-standing policy of not punishing fleeting, isolated incidents of indecency such as this. Dan Isett of the Parents Television Council is outraged.
Millions of families around the country recoiled in horror. It's absolutely preposterous.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's rush hour. The bus is packed. You've got a seat, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 14 more stops to go.
Oh, I should have used...
Wait, you already know you should have used Preparation H. But for extra relief, use Preparation H medicated wipes first. Unlike most ordinary wipes that just clean, Preparation H medicated wipes relieve while you clean. Then apply your Preparation H.
Move to the back, please.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H medicated wipes.
From Preparation H, the relief expert. Uses directed.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W!
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W! Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Later this hour, Ross Tuttle, who writes for The Nation, is going to check in with us and report on day one of the Hamdan Kangaroo Court experience. We can't call it a trial. It's a military tribunal. And guess what? If he's acquitted, he stays at Gitmo. Now that's a very special form of justice. Also next hour, we're going to get an update on the budget battle in Sacramento, $16 billion in the red ink. And John Lehrer, the Assembly Budget Chair, will join us to talk about it. Which of your taxes can we increase, friends? I want to know. Every Monday at this time, we check in with Cliff Schechter. He's the author of The Real McCain, and up to this minute, he's blogging at FireDogLake.com. There's an update there. We'll get it in a moment. Cliff, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing better than John McCain, because the New York Times didn't reject an op-ed piece today.
Currently remedial English time, I don't know.
Now, were some crayons harmed in the creation of that piece, or what exactly was the criteria used to say, sorry, Senator, no room in the paper today?
Yeah, well, apparently the New York Times sees things the way Maliki and the rest of the world tend to see things, which is not the way John McCain does.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think a couple of crayons might have been massacred, yes. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. Did you recover from Netroots Nation?
As you can tell, it said Maliki instead of Maliki, so you can tell, no, I didn't. But,
well, some people do say Maliki, and I don't speak Arabic myself, so I don't pretend to be an expert. I have said Maliki because that's the way I heard other people pronounce it.
I heard it coming out of my mouth, and I thought, wow. That's
you know, I think the best source of Iraqi pronunciations is Professor Juan Cole from the University of Michigan.
Well, he certainly, I know from reading his stuff, obviously one of the smartest guys out there.
Well, every once in a while they allow him on the PBS NewsHour, and he knows how to say Muqtada al-Sadr.
Wow.
It's more Sutter than Sadr. And it's the army linked to the Skiri group, not Skiri, Skiri, is called the Butter Brigade. It's spelled B-A-D-R, but the way Juan Cole says it, it's more like butter.
Wow. Well, yeah, I haven't seen him on there just because I haven't seen it, but I've learned a lot from reading his stuff always. I mean, I really enjoyed it, I don't remember, a couple of years ago when he got into an ongoing debate with Jonah Goldberg about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's fun to debate a brick wall. But remember, liberals created fascism.
Well, of course we did. We're responsible for everything, and as soon as we accept that, we'll certainly be in better shape. Well, while we're mentioning Juan Cole, he's got a website named after him, juancole.org or .com, and he updates it every day, so check that out. Now, Cliff, I understand that the burdens of blogging have reached the breaking point for you.
You must have read the site today.
I always go to your site.
Well, you're a good man. I'm going to stay there and keep contributing. It's just Fire Dog Lake, and I don't want anybody to think anything else. It's been it's been an honor running that site, and I'm going to still stay there. It's just a matter of promoting the book. The book's done so well, thankfully, that there are a lot of requests in between that, and I had some consulting work that I was doing that I had agreed to do a while back that I'm finishing up, and running after a 21-month-old, it can wear you down, and so I don't want to let people down, so I want to be able to be there but not have them have to rely on my being there all day, every day.
And are you keeping your dance card open for those calls you expect from MSNBC and the Fox News Channel to tell the truth about John McCain? They're going to call.
They absolutely are. You know, the sad thing at this point, Peter, is that for some of the other channels is that I actually have gotten the call from Fox News and have been on a number of times.
Oh.
CNN, I was booked to go on in one show, and at the last minute, it got canceled. I have, however, have not heard from MSNBC. So, if anybody out there who seems to think that believes that they are, you know, quote, liberal, I'm still waiting.
I would think that Keith Olbermann, or, you know, when Rachel Maddow sits in for him, that you'd be at the top of their list to give that expert commentary on the McCain bungle of the day.
Well, at this point, I'd be happy just to be somewhere on the list, quite frankly. But
And what was your most recent outing on Fox? You failed to email me about that.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of what it is. I've been on Neil Cavuto's show a couple times.
Wow.
So we have some healthy debates about McCain and economic issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we go at it. But they've invited me back on. I have to give them credit for the fact that so far they've allowed me to come on and argue it out. So I'll keep going on.
Mm-hmm.
They keep inviting me.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming they do, of course.
Yeah. Well, I got a little more information on the New York Times rejection of John McCain. As you know, the Obama machine is in high gear. He published an op-ed last Monday in the Times, followed it up with a very substantive speech about foreign policy in Washington on Tuesday. And by the end of the week, the Bush administration was leaving John McCain hanging out to dry by embracing key points of Obama's foreign policy proposals, like talking to the Iranians, setting a timeline for withdrawal from Iraq. and on these things, McCain is now sputtering, and he had to take time off and recharge with Rudy Giuliani at a Yankees game over the weekend.
And he snuck out during the sixth inning, from what I hear, now to be seen afterwards during a tie game.
Oh, yeah?
So apparently he was really into the game.
So against that backdrop, the McCain message machine is straining, kind of like an air conditioner on a really hot summer day.
Yes.
So they send in an op-ed to the New York Times, expecting kind of automatic acceptance. And opinion page editor David Shipley said he could not accept the piece as written, but would be pleased to look at another draft.
Yeah, well, he wanted John McCain to actually lay out what his policy is. And he's not used to having to do that when he gives 15 to 30 second sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets a little tougher when you actually write something and you want to respond to Obama, but you're actually, you know, expected to, you know, respond as opposed to just kind of throwing out a bunch of platitudes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to defend McCain.
Please.
Because it is very difficult to fit in an op-ed and to really sort of fill it with the kind of facts you need when you're busy planning out policy for the Iraq-Afghanistan border,
mm-hmm.
as you know. or is it Iraq-Pakistan? I'm trying to remember who he thought was next. Or is it Iraq-Czechoslovakia?
Yeah.
It may be the Iraq-Czechoslovakia border.
Well, I'm sure he's worried about that, and missile defense can protect everybody if we'll just go along with it, you know.
Exactly.
So this is interesting, and McCain is now, you know, facing at least a week of being fairly blanked out in the corporate media because Obama's on this high-profile trip that's includes key interviews by the top network news anchors and a culmination of Meet the Press after his big speech in Berlin. So just on a media manipulation level, I do have to give the Obama team a lot of credit here because they took the dare from John McCain, why don't you go to Iraq? and they flipped it into a steroid creature that he just doesn't recognize anymore.
No, I mean, whatever one wants to say, but you know, you have to look objectively and say that they've done this brilliantly. They've gone and they've garnered positive news. The gaffes have been McCain's. He went beyond, obviously, just going to Iraq to going to Afghanistan, laying out policy, got Chuck Hagel to come along with him, which added that bipartisan veneer that the press loves.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done quite well.
Well, and we have to worry now that with Hagel there that we're going to hear more from Chris Matthews, who is trying to promote him as Obama's vice president. And, I think Chuck Hagel serves an important role. He is a Republican who's willing to stand his own ground and think independently on some issues. But he's not anybody who we want to see on a ticket with Obama. Is he, Cliff?
No. I give Hagel credit where it's due that he certainly stood up and really been honest about two things, foremost, which is the war in Iraq and the Bush administration. And I give him a lot of credit for that. But, I mean, mm-hmm. a guy who gets ratings between 95 or at least 90 and 100% from the Christian Coalition, American Conservative Union, and Chamber of Commerce and others is not someone we want on the ticket. I tell you, I'd be perfectly happy with him, you know, considering that it's his foreign policy that I think is terrific. I'd be very happy with him as a defense, in the cabinet, either defense or in a role like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's not touching domestic policy, as long as he's only involved in foreign affairs, his foreign affairs policy makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I think of Belarus, you know, and the Minsk diplomatic post. And that's stealing a line from John McCain. Let's go to Dave in Eureka. Welcome, Dave. You're on with Cliff Schechter.
Hey, Cliff and Peter. I'm wondering once again, does John McCain feel justified in accepting payments for 100% disability? Is he all right with that? And if so, does he also feel qualified to be President of the United States? How do those two fit in with each other? Question I have.
All right. Cliff, what's your comment?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the first part of the question.
Oh, okay. Well, what he's asking about is John McCain takes a 100% disability payment, and Dave is asking, number one, do you think that's appropriate? Number two, if he is so disabled that he gets 100% payment from the military, how does that qualify him to be president?
Well, I mean, you know, I would be okay with a disability payment if it weren't for the fact that he's voted so often against veterans. For them to receive all sorts of health benefits and the GI Bill and a variety of other things. So I find him, just as he accepts his health care from the military and from the government, and of course thinks it's horrible to even think of letting the government get involved in health care for the rest of us under the, who are suffering under this ridiculous system we have. As for, excuse me again, as for whether he's qualified, I think there's a whole host of other reasons that make him unqualified to be president. Most of all, as we said, thinking that Iraq and Pakistan border each other and that Czechoslovakia is still a country, and not knowing the difference between the Sudan and Somalia, and not knowing the difference between the Shiites and Sunnis, and the million other unbelievably stupid things he said. Having no understanding of the economy, admitting it, and then lying about it, and the policy positions from abortion rights to tax cuts to foreign policy that he's completely flip-flopped on, as I point out throughout the real McCain, not to mention the temper where he physically assaults or uses four-letter words on those around him who dare disagree with him.
But on the campaign trail, the meds are working so far. He hasn't had a blow-up in at least a week. Cliff Schechter's with us, and if you go to FireDogLake.com, you can check out the blog, the campaign silo. He's handing off the baton to a guy you know from this program, John Gorenfeld, the author of the new book about Reverend Moon. So that'll be interesting, and check out the daily post there at FireDogLake.com. We'll continue in a moment with Cliff Schechter, and I've got a juicy story about Phil Graham coming to San Francisco last week.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Well, good afternoon. Happy Monday to you. Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off with a brand new problem for San Martin West, San Martin Avenue at Santa Teresa Boulevard. It's an injury crash with a couple of cars off to the side. You have emergency crews on the way. Salinas Road at Werner Road, a brand new accident. Looks like two cars. We have no lanes currently blocked there. Northbound 1 after Buena Vista Drive, Santa Cruz County. We had reports of a pedestrian getting a little too close to the freeway. Looks like CHP has just arrived and in the process of escorting that person off the roadway. Finally, South 101 before Bernal Road in South San Jose. This causing a pretty large backup. We have all lanes shut down because of an accident with a truck with a jackknife trailer. Nails all over the roadway. Caltrans sweeper on the scene trying to clear some of that out of your way. This is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org, who reminds you to save energy, money, and the planet because the fight against global warming has just begun. If you spot a traffic problem, call us 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just feel the elections.
Here in California, we're experiencing an influx of prominent Republicans. Poppy Bush is here. Henry Kissinger. Let me think who else is on the list. David Rockefeller. A bunch of those folks are gathering for the summer encampment at Bohemian Grove. And there's more protest activity this year. I think Phil Graham is ensconced up there. And two members of the Grateful Dead are joining that crew. It is a bizarre group, all male. And they do little stage numbers where people dress, cross-dress, which would provide for some great videos, but they destroy them all before they can leave the compound. And Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain, is with us. Cliff, this juicy story was published in the San Francisco Chronicle today. Jeff Robbins received an email from a pal who doesn't want to be identified, who was asked to be a flower boy at a gay wedding last week. Over his black tuxedo, he donned a pair of pink fairy butterfly wings, provided by the marrying couple. After the ceremony, there was a luncheon at the Ritz-Carlton, and after that, he stood in the portico waiting to pick up his car. A bunch of black town cars were arriving, and out of them, one of them, stepped Phil Graham, who at that time was still co-chair of the John McCain campaign. The sight of the formally attired bearded gent in wings made many people smile, including Graham. Given the opportunity, the fairy butterfly couldn't resist, making reference to Graham's recent comments about economic woes being in people's minds. "Welcome to San Francisco, Senator," he said. "I can see why you're not whining, staying at the Ritz-Carlton." Graham's smile froze, said the email, and then he went into the hotel.
It just brings a warm ray of sunshine to your heart, doesn't it, Peter?
Well, it does.
People are mocking that mean little man. He's such a vicious little man who's caused so much trouble to our economic system and then, of course, makes comments like that. I've long detested Phil Graham, so
yeah.
To know that people are mocking him around the country for what he is, it just makes me smile.
Mm-hmm. Well, that Ritz-Carlton is right on the California Street Hill where the cable cars run, and it's one of those times when you wish Phil would hop on and just might somehow get out of control. Also,
yeah,
a lot of the...
I know, I'd be crying.
The Republican fat cats were here for a secret visit by President Bush. He came to California ostensibly to take a look at the damage from our wildfires. But he was actually here for a fundraiser. 60 bigwigs joined Bill Harlan, who's a winemaker and an owner of the Meadowood Resort. And they had a skeet shooting adventure and fundraiser. And Dick Cheney wasn't there.
I was about to ask. Dick Cheney and Phil Graham there, that actually could make for fun pictures.
Now,
for that moment, if you will.
On the policy level, Cliff, where is John McCain going to turn for economic advice if he's not allowed to talk to Phil Graham no more?
The magic eight ball?
Yeah.
Perhaps astrology? I think throwing darts at a copy of the Wall Street Journal. I'm not sure quite where McCain will go for the vast reservoir of knowledge.
I could get him one of these little easy buttons from the Staples office supply store.
That's right. That might be easy for him, too. I think, you know, honestly, there is no economic program if you're a Republican, so it probably doesn't really matter. I mean, the only answer to every woe that we have is deregulate and cut taxes for the rich. So in the end, that's what McCain's advocating now. That was Bush's economic policy. It's obviously done wonders for our economy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the housing market's great. The dollar's so strong. Our budget is balanced as it was when Bill Clinton was in office. You know, it's done such wonders for us. So
yeah.
McCain's obviously going to follow that because that's worked well.
Mm-hmm. And we got 30 seconds, Cliff. The McCain campaign hit back on Obama with a negative ad where it says he hasn't been to Iraq in years. Well, in fact, it was 2 years ago he went. So isn't that the narrowest of truthiness?
It is, but when you're getting your op-eds rejected, I guess you just have to make stuff up in commercials. That's one of the few places he's still allowed to communicate with us, apparently. So.
That's right. There is no truth squad for campaign commercials. You really can say anything, and they've got to run them. Cliff, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. My pleasure, Peter. Take care.
In the meantime, pick up The Real McCain. It's out in soft cover. And go to FireDogLake.com and read Cliff's posts while they last. Up next, a look at the monkey trials, kangaroo trials at Gitmo.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Somebody fire that translator. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Barack Obama's in Iraq to hear from the Iraqi government, although just because you hear from the Iraqi government doesn't mean you know what they're saying. Once again, comments by Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki were mistranslated. Second translation screw-up in 2 weeks, and coincidentally, about the same issue both times, troop withdrawal. 2 weeks ago, Maliki was quoted as demanding a timetable for withdrawal. Awkward, because President Bush has long been against a timetable. Fortunately, the very next day, the White House revealed that Maliki did not mean to say timetable. Okay, so this time, in a German magazine interview, Maliki spontaneously brought up Barack Obama's 16-month timetable for withdrawal and said, according to the translation, 16 months could be suitable to end the presence of the forces in Iraq. The next day, U.S. envoys in Baghdad had a chat with Maliki's advisors, after which those advisors said he didn't say what the magazine said he said, although they couldn't pinpoint what he didn't say. I'm not even going to believe that Nouri al-Maliki is the guy's name until we hear it straight from the White House. Okay, so Dave, if President Bush doesn't want a timetable, then why did he agree to a time horizon on Friday? I think of it this way. A horizon is something you can see but never reach, since it always remains the same distance away. Therefore, whereas a timetable tells you exactly when the bus is coming, a time horizon would be like having a bus headed in your direction but never getting there since your bus stop is also moving. Unless I'm translating it wrong. Now this.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Bomb.
In 1996, Carl Lewis defied Father Time by taking home the gold in the long jump. You, on the other hand, defied physics and strained your back with some crazy yoga pose intended to catch the eye of a young lady.
Oh!
Nice job.
Tiger Bomb is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Bomb works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast.
They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
This kangaroo court will come to order. The not-so-honorable Brigadier General Thomas Hartman presiding.
Cause here comes the judge, don't nobody budge. Cause here comes the judge, Judge Shorty is presiding today. And he don't take no stuff from nobody, no kind of way. Hey boy, take off your hat, where do you think you're at? I know where you gon' be, if you know me by me. I'm here to tell you.
Yes, the first in a parade of these military tribunals is underway at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. It was intended to be a parade that would help with the Republican election campaign this November, but that Republican-packed Supreme Court has interfered once again, and the process is not quite going according to plan. Ross Tuttle's been following this for The Nation and has posted a number of great articles at thenation.com, and he joins us again today. He's a filmmaker as well as a print journalist. Ross, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's nice to talk with you. And I wanted to get your sense. I have been, distracted all day long doing my work and everything, and I don't know if you've had a chance to catch up on any of the proceedings in day one of the trial happening in courtroom 01A at Guantanamo Bay.
I've been trying to keep up, and actually a friend of mine, a colleague down there, has been keeping me a bit informed about some of the latest events that are going on. Early in the day, they did select a jury of six jurors, military officers, who are going to be ruling on the case. One of the other things, actually, there was a motion, the judge was considering a motion to suppress coerced statements by the defendant.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge appears just to have ruled on some of those motions that will have potentially a huge impact on the case. We'll probably be reading more about it tomorrow. And actually, when you called, I was just going through some of the material that the decision, I guess, the judge made,
mm-hmm.
Which I could maybe breeze for you a little bit, although, like I said, I just got my hands on it.
Well, go ahead and breeze through it, because it's breaking news. We'll take it as such, and we'll just let our listeners know that they should look for further verification. But tell us what you got there.
Well, it looks like the judge was ruling on several motions that the defense counsel had put forward to suppress coerced statements, alleging that their client had been giving coerced testimony that it was self-incrimination. And that he hadn't been read his Miranda rights after he was transferred from being held by intelligence agents into people who were going to be prosecuting him. So they've alleged that he was not read any rights prior to making statements, that there was some self-incrimination, and that he was coerced into making a lot of the incriminating statements that he made. It looks like the judge has ruled to suppress potentially some of those statements,
mm-hmm.
unless the government can produce an official involved in taking of the statement, which I think might have something to do with the hearsay nature of the testimony. It may not allow the government to use some of the hearsay testimony.
So the actual torturer has to come into this kangaroo court and say, oh, yeah, I heard him say that. A written document or even a recording of it might not be sufficient evidence?
Right. So just a document provided by an individual. They may need an agent who was there at the time. And now he's speaking specifically. Well, actually, I think generally speaking, he wants there to be somebody who can vouch for how this information was obtained.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, it says they are also granted a motion. Let's see, the motion is granted as the statements of accused made in Afghanistan, it looks like, in a couple of locations where he was held in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were other motions to suppress that he did not grant. And he is going to allow some videotape statements and some of the other statements that were made. Actually, statements that were made at Guantanamo. He's saying that there was not coercion there, that whatever may have happened to him there and his detention were just parts of the rudiments of detention and keeping him as a compliant.
Oh, so the so-called frequent flyer program that they signed up Hamdan for, where he was transferred, as I recall, this was published last week, in a two-week period, 14 days, they transferred him cell to cell 114 times. And this was intended to induce sleep deprivation, and that, to me, is a form of torture. But are we then to infer that the judge presiding over this tribunal feels that sleep dep is not a form of torture?
According to this, you know, the response to this motion, he is saying that he feels that it was some of the... Hamdan was exposed to a variety of coercive influences over the past 7 years. Some of these were rationally related to good order and discipline in the camp.
All right, so if he misbehaved and they sanctioned him, that could explain what the judge is referring to there. But that doesn't really relate to interrogation or the delivery of intelligence that is then going to be used against him.
Correct. So, I should say this Judge Allred seems to have been really stand up as far as this trial has been concerned and really been, you know, really contemplative and listening to a lot of the evidence and making well-informed decisions. And I think, you know, coming down in a lot of ways, you know, I mean, being very helpful to the defense on a lot of occasions. It'll be interesting to see how the defense responds to this. I think what he's also holding off on making decisions with regard to statements made, I think, to an FBI agent in around 2003,
mm-hmm.
because the prosecution just dumped about 600 additional documents or pages of documents onto the defense having to do with his detention logs and things like that, so they can look at that and maybe even file supplements to their motion.
So on day one of the trial, the prosecution unloads a new dump of 600 pages on the defense, and there's no pause in the trial for the defense to absorb this. They just have to press on.
That's what they're asking for. They're asking for a postponement. I think they may have, I don't know if they're giving them a day again. This is all just happening right now.
Very good. Ross Tuttle is with us.
The motion came out, I think, the response or the ruling came out literally maybe an hour ago,
mm-hmm.
So it's yet to be fully synthesized.
Understood. Ross Tuttle is with us. You can read his work at thenation.com, and he's been covering the events at Guantanamo Bay. Now, Ross, let's back up, zoom out here for the overview. Salim Hamdan is accused of being Osama bin Laden's driver, and the actual charges are that he aided and abetted the enemy and that he ferried military materials. So that kind of sounds like he was driving Osama's car and there were some guns in the back.
Right. They alleged rockets, yes.
Okay, rockets. All right. That's fine. And so as this kind of Kafkaesque thing unfolds, the ground rules are that Hamdan can be convicted, in which case he might be sentenced to death or life imprisonment at Guantanamo Bay or some other prison. But if he is acquitted, his status is unlikely to change. He will remain an enemy combatant detained indefinitely at Guantanamo or some other location. Is that right?
Until the cessation of hostilities, yes, as it stands now, that's the way it is proceeding. There was also another thing that just came out today with the Attorney General Mukasey asking Congress to write some legislation that would handle detainees and handle their detention. And actually, there's something that's going on right now and some legislation that's being discussed that's called administrative detention. And essentially, it's what you've already stated. I'm not so clear on the details of administrative detention, but it's again like that, where you would, if you were deemed an unlawful enemy combatant, they could detain you until the end of the war.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, who knows when that would be.
Right.
So this is something that they may, that they're trying to get Congress to write into law.
And frankly, Ross, as I read this, Mukasey made these comments in Washington earlier today, and this sounds like just another delaying tactic and a way of trying to pass the buck. Because Mukasey is saying that Congress, not judges, should decide how to give Guantanamo Bay detainees their day in court. And he has a series of proposals that he says should be dealt with by the Congress. Well, his predecessor, Alberto Gonzalez, jammed through this piece of crap called the Military Commissions Act of 2006. And that was really when the court had ordered them to that Congress was required to embrace any kind of rules for these tribunals because the Bush administration had created them out of whole cloth without any congressional oversight or approval.
Right. No, indeed, that is what happened. And what people say is that the court, obviously, the court can make a decision, it can make a ruling, but it can't enforce it. It can't enforce it. It can't tell anyone, okay, this is when you have to go ahead and do this. I mean, what happens is it just provides a roadmap, hopefully, forward for the administration. The administration then, obviously, has been trying to skirt any rulings that have come down through the Supreme Court or tweak them to their own liking. What people will tell you is that a legislative or administrative fix is the quickest fix that will come, that is available, that if Congress does something, it can be enforced immediately. If the president, decides he wants to change something, he would then, again, have to go through Congress. Congress would legislate something, and then things would change. What it might be, and again, I haven't read all of Mukasey's statement today, but it might be just forward thinking and trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next administration, but let's get a law in place now, something that might be a bit more beneficial to, or a bit more appealing to a Republican administration now, thinking they may have a chance to get something through, but it doesn't seem like members of this Congress are very warm to what he's requested of them.
Well, and Ross, you're a journalist, and I'll give you credit for being fair and balanced to the Attorney General, but I see this as just another delaying tactic in an effort to try to defer any real decisions, because this Attorney General could lobby the administration and say, we don't need to reform the Military Commissions Act. We need to close Guantanamo and bring the people who deserve to be charged into federal courts, charge them, try them, convict or acquit them, and sentence them if they're convicted. But this is just propelling and perpetuating the whole kangaroo court system by pretending that it can be fixed.
Right. Well, one of the other things they're looking at, too, is this, what's called this National Security Court, and that's something that people have been discussing for a while now, and allegedly some legislators are looking at the possibility of some kind of national security court, which many people are opposed to for a variety of reasons, and I'm not so well versed on all of that. But that's something that they're looking to as a replacement for the military commission's process. A lot of people didn't think this we were going to get this far. A lot of people didn't think there was going to be a trial starting
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
People thought the judge was going to throw it out.
Well, and you wrote a piece last week about Judge Thomas Hartman, Brigadier General Hartman, who is the highest-ranking officer and top lawyer overseeing Guantanamo. And what you described there is that he created a timeline and a process that really bypassed the legal balances even intended by the Military Commissions Act. And so this is truly a kangaroo court. And you wrote previously about Colonel Morris Davis, who had been the chief prosecutor there, and he left and accused Hartman of violating the rules of the military commissions by essentially saying that, hey, we're going to have guilty verdicts all the time here. Aren't we, Colonel Morris Davis? And he got replaced by a guy named Colonel Something Morris, which makes it even harder to follow, Ross.
it really twists your brain. And when you talk to lawyers about this stuff and you ask them for, they sometimes can't even give you guidance because they say, well, I know how a real legal system works, but this system we have here isn't reflective of that at all. And just as a quick note, actually, Brigadier General Thomas Hartman, he is a lawyer, he's not a judge, but he is the legal advisor to the woman who oversees the entire process. And yes, there have been several accusations leveled at him about his meddling in the process and going beyond his mandate, which is to provide objective and impartial legal opinions to the woman who will make the decision about which cases do and do go to trial,
mm-hmm.
about what kinds of expert witnesses can be called, and will also will select the jury pool, and will also be the first stop in terms of clemency, where the first stop in the appeals process for the defendants if they are convicted.
Mm-hmm.
And Hartman, yes, was disqualified actually from the case that just began today, although I heard he has yet to be replaced. By another legal advisor who would be acting in this case if it does lead to a conviction.
Ross Tuttle's with us. He writes for TheNation.com, and thank you for that correction. I was overly generous to Brigadier General Hartman. He's not a judge. So we'll take a break and return. If you have a question or comment about what's going on in your name at Guantanamo Bay, call me now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, 12 minutes before the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting with a crash in Watsonville, Salinas Road at Werner Road. Two cars, they're both off to the right-hand shoulder. San Martin, West San Martin Avenue at Santa Teresa Boulevard. Injury crash should be in the final clearing stages. Two cars off to the side and emergency crews are on the scene. Highway 17, still checking and stalling, accident-free. South 101 before Bernal, we had heavy traffic, people trying to get from San Jose down into the Morgan Hill area. We had nails spilled all over the roadway. At one point, all of the lanes were shut down. It looks like everything's open now, and you are backed up to Blossom Hill Road, where we have another crash. No details on that one just yet. And this is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect, only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, definitely give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Tired of living with pain, depression, or anxiety? Optimal Health Acupuncture at 132 Carmelito Avenue in Monterey is your ticket to a fresh, rejuvenated lifestyle. Licensed acupuncturist Glenn Sadowski will give you your life back. Just listen to the actual words of one of Glenn's patients.
For over 7 months, Glenn Sadowski has been treating me for asthma diagnosed in 2001 after years of steroidal treatments and many other medications which caused me to gain over 50 pounds. I wanted my life and health back. A close friend told me of Glenn Sadowski's successful treatment for asthma patients. Since January, I have experienced a remarkably positive change in my life due to Glenn's holistic health care approach, which includes acupuncture, herbal supplements, as well as dietary and exercise changes. I have jettisoned virtually all of my meds, as well as the unwanted 50 pounds. Glenn Sadowski and Optimal Health have given me back my life.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, and I can help you reclaim your life, too. Call me at 831-655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. What are you waiting for?
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour, talking with Ross Tuttle. Read his work at TheNation.com. And we're talking about the military tribunal, as it's called, underway. The U.S. versus Salim Hamdan, accused of being Osama bin Laden's driver, and he has been detained at Guantanamo Bay for more than 5.5 years. Well, that's not true. He's been detained. for more than 5.5 years. We don't know exactly how long, or at least I don't. He's been at Gitmo. Do you, Ross? Was he sent over there with KSM and the so-called high-value detainees?
No, he'd been over there long before that. I'm not quite sure of the exact date. He may have been over there as early as in 2002.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, I think your estimate around, 5.5 years, something like that, is even close to 6, actually, is probably accurate.
Mm-hmm. So a jury was selected, and they started with a pool of 13 American military officers who were flown into Guantanamo. And this, of course, doesn't match up with what I would be entitled to if I were a criminal accused in a civilian court, because I would be entitled to a jury of my peers. And while I understand that it might not be possible to get a Yemeni jury for a citizen who was from Yemen, like Salim Hamdan, to have uniformed American officers sitting in judgment of a so-called unlawful enemy combatant, doesn't that just set a picture of unfairness from the get-go, Ross?
Well, you can certainly understand how some of these individuals might think that they're not getting a fair shake when everyone, they have a difficult time, obviously, of distinguishing. Someone comes in a uniform and interrogates them. Another person comes in a uniform and says, hey, I'm your lawyer.
Yeah.
Another person comes in a uniform and drags them out, to do whatever they need to do during the day. So, you're going through this process. You don't have any way to make sense of what's going on. You think they're all one of the same group. And, there's been a lot of difficulty with a lot of these defense lawyers getting a rapport with their clients. Of course, the clients aren't going to be very trusting of them and very trusting of the entire system. I was down at a pretrial hearing of Hamdan's a couple of months ago, and he went on a long monologue, which turned into a dialogue with the judge about how he felt the system was unfair, that he would be willing to tell them whatever they wanted to know, just give them a fair process.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, this is the best one we've got for you.
Yeah. Just amazing. Now, Brigadier General Hartman, who is not a judge, and thank you, he, as you outlined in this piece dated July 17th, committed a number of, he completed a number of steps in advance of a balanced approach by the defense and prosecution, and essentially has laid out a timeline for the trial, and I guess we can presume the conviction, of these individuals, starting with Hamdan. What did you discover in your research about what General Hartman did that essentially was a little bit ahead of the timeline curve?
As you've stated, what it appears is that he's been making plans, and this happened basically what he had said when he was when he was giving testimony in a case, when another motion, they were trying to toss him off another case, get him disqualified because of unlawful interference, unlawful influence in the case. He had said that it should be up to the chief prosecutor to make decisions about who to prosecute and when. What then was unearthed later by defense counsel on this particular case of Muhammad Jawad was that Brigadier General Hartman had, in fact, created a document that had a timeline of who would be charged and when. And then, not only that, but when some of those trials would actually be referred to trial. And both of those things are outside of his purview. He's supposed to supervise the prosecution, but he's not supposed to make prosecutorial decisions. He's not supposed to do prosecution strategy, nor is he supposed to be the one who decides which charges actually go to trial. He's prognosticating all of this well in advance and writing it down on a chart as a guideline. And now what the prosecution will say, what the Office of Military Commission said, was that this was an aspirational chart.
Hmm.
However, one of the dates that he picked, say, for a trial to be a defendant to be charged, it actually fell exactly on the day that he predicted. And a lot of people have been talking behind the scenes about how they've been pushed, how he has usurped the job of the chief prosecutor, how he's been pushing people, saying, these are the cases I want cases now, we've got to push this thing along. And the way we restore credibility to this process is by getting people charged, by getting them on trial, by getting convictions, and by getting good sentences. And it seems like he has been the one then to take control of that entire process completely outside of his purview and to try to drive it through so that they do indeed get those good sentences that he so coveted.
And I mentioned earlier that Morris Davis, a colonel who was the chief prosecutor who resigned because he felt that Hartman was telling him there can be no acquittals, and he's been replaced by Colonel Lawrence Morris. So it was Morris Davis replaced by Lawrence Morris. I hope everybody can keep that straight. It took me a minute. Is this Lawrence Morris a fair guy in your estimation from what you've heard?
Well, it's, you know, it's difficult to say. He's got a difficult job to do. I mean, there seems to be obviously a lot of pressure on the prosecution, a lot of political pressure on them. Lawrence Morris is certainly, playing it a lot differently than Morris Davis played it. Morris Davis was very outspoken from the beginning, very outspoken in favor of the process, you know, out in the press, and even brought up, he was always an outspoken individual, and when he felt that there was too much politicization of the process, when he felt his job was being encroached upon too much by outsiders, he spoke out about that. Colonel Morris is somebody who plays it a little bit closer to the vest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to tell, I mean, because the prosecution, he does do some interviews, and he does speak publicly at press conferences, but it's really hard to ascertain. You know, he says that there is no unlawful interference. He says that he is not being unlawfully influenced by Brigadier General Hartman. Yet a lot of people, and maybe things have changed once he's gotten there, but it still seems that, you know, a lot of people in the prosecution office and in the Office of Military Commissions don't seem to be too happy with the way things are going, and, you know, there is a lot of disenchantment. However, you know, again, now that this process is going forward, now that the trials are beginning, who knows, maybe their morale and their spirits have boosted a little bit when they may get some convictions.
All right, Ross, we're out of time. Ross Tuttle from TheNation.com. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It might be the smoking gun food safety investigators have been looking for. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the latest on the salmonella outbreak.
After almost 3 months, a spicy pepper has been found with this strain of salmonella on it. David Acheson at the Food and Drug Administration announced
the discovery of this positive pepper.
It was a jalapeno from Mexico found during an inspection of a small produce distributor in McAllen, Texas, where it was contaminated. Still not known, but the government has changed its advice. Consumers should avoid fresh jalapeno peppers. Tomatoes are still safe. 1,250 people have gotten sick. Dan Revive, CBS News.
A hurricane watch is posted for parts of the Texas and Mexico Gulf coasts. Dennis Felchin at the National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Dolly could be dangerous.
It's moving into an environment that is conducive for strengthening, and we do expect Dolly to become better organized and become a hurricane over the next day or two.
At the Home Depot in Brownsville, manager Lisa Masso says there's already a run on storm supplies.
Plywood, tarps, flashlights, batteries, water, gas cans, extension cords for the generators.
Shell Oil says it's starting to evacuate workers from drilling rigs in the western part of the Gulf. Barack Obama met in Baghdad today with Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki, who indicates he agrees with Obama on a timetable of about 16 months for the withdrawal of U.S. combat troops. Obama also met with the American commander, General David Petraeus, who says a pullout can't be based on timetables. While they disagree, CBS News correspondent David Martin says their discussion was kept private.
Obama did follow one piece of advice from Petraeus. Don't wear a helmet. Civilians just look dorky in helmets, as Michael Dukakis, another Democrat running for president, learned 20 years ago. On Obama's first day in Iraq, There was no need for helmets.
It's been quiet with no Americans killed and only five wounded since last week. John McCain on the stump today said Obama should acknowledge that the surge worked.
We have succeeded, and we will win this war, and our troops will come home, but they will come home with honor, and they won't come home in defeat.
It was during the Super Bowl in 2004 that the halftime show included a fleeting glimpse of Janet Jackson's left breast. The Federal Communications Commission slapped CBS with a $550,000 fine, but today a federal appeals court in Philadelphia threw out the fine. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
The court accuses the FCC of inventing a new indecency standard and applying it to this incident without proper notice. Peggy Charon, a longtime children's television activist, agrees the agency went too far in this case.
It's very good news that that ridiculous fine is history now.
But at the Parents Television Council, Dan Isett isn't happy.
It's very disappointing that three judges in Philadelphia have taken it upon themselves to ignore the will of the American people.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow down 29 points. This is CBS News.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the women's softball team did America proud by pulling through for gold. You, on the other hand, somehow pulled a tricep after trying some weird new swing at the batting cages. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Now you can share your color inspiration at colorofinspiration.com, the new online community from Sherwin-Williams, where you can post photos, chat about what inspires you, maybe even inspire someone else. Once you've found your colorful inspiration, save $7 a gallon on a wide variety of our exceptional paints and stains for incredible inspiration and great savings. At Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
These are tough times for the auto industry, but this week, Ford is celebrating the anniversary of when it all began. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has the story.
It's been nearly 100 years since the Model T made cars affordable for everyday Americans. David Poe of suburban Detroit, one of hundreds taking their Model Ts to Indiana this week and the Model T Museum for a special centennial celebration.
It's a lot of fun. It's not anything like today's cars. You literally have to be the computer that's driving the car.
Ford made 16.5 million Model Ts, still one of the best-selling cars of all time. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Ford sales are down sharply this year. As it cuts production, the company says hourly workers at 17 facilities will be offered buyouts and early retirement packages. The targeted facilities include plants that assemble trucks and SUVs. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity here. So you know what that means? It's Honda clearance time. And if you're into trucks, you are going to love this because it's your opportunity to get behind the wheel of a new Ridgeline, the versatile Element, or the classy CR-V for a deal that just might make your head spin. Look, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. Your wallet can thank me later, if you get my meaning. Don't you just love it when I'm around? The 2008 Honda clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm not.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Mainstream media is keeping it a secret, but we've declared this is impeachment week on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dennis Kucinich has an article of impeachment that'll be presented to the House Judiciary Committee this Friday. Tomorrow, Elizabeth Holtzman, who led the effort to bring Richard Nixon to justice, will kick off our program. And Kucinich himself will be with us on Wednesday. We're also inviting Republican Bruce Fine, who advocates impeachment of this president, and will be testifying at the hearing on Friday. So stay tuned for more. But first, let's go to Sacramento. It's going to be a long, hot summer. Well, he set paradise on fire.
Everybody's about to go insane. Crazy from the heat. Nobody wants to go outside. There's danger in the street. It's gonna be a long, hot summer. People dream of even more.
Well, we got relief from that early July heat wave, but there'll probably be more. The real long, hot summer is inside the state capitol in Sacramento and in the smoking tent right outside the governor's office. John Laird is the assemblyman who chairs the budget committee in Sacramento in the lower house. He also represents the people of the Central Coast from Santa Cruz on down to Monterey. John, welcome back to our program today.
Hey, Peter. It's great to be with you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, despite the fact this deadlock is exasperating.
Well, I just want you to know I think about you. And I have great empathy because you're there doing very hard work with not a lot of glory. And before the show today, one of your aides sent me a 63-page conference report. And this is just the latest that you have to digest as you're dueling with the governor and the Republicans to try to put together a budget that doesn't set California back by honoring a no-new-taxes pledge at the expense of our higher education, our health care system, and the critical investments in the future of our state. So just a bit on the personal level, how do you digest all of this stuff, and are you a natural numbers guy, or do you have a number cruncher that you lean on?
Oh, there are numbers crunchers that work on it, but I am naturally a numbers person and also a generalist. That is one thing that I know something about a lot of things and can absorb it across the state government and budget, and that's what's really useful right now when you're dealing with just hundreds and hundreds of different items and you need to know what happened last year, what it means if you pull back in some way, here's what happens. It's something that's very important for this process.
And John, we value that so much we're showing you the door.
Well, the people of Santa Cruz and Monterey voted the other way, but I'll be grateful for that, heading out the door.
All right, now what about the process itself? Because I want to get to some of the proposals here in a moment. But the governor, as you and I have talked about before, is in a most awkward position because at some point he will have to eat his words on the no new taxes pledge, but he can't count on his Republican colleagues in the Assembly and Senate to chew along with him.
That is exactly right. And this is the toughest time to explain what's going on to the public, because the public generally feels, geez, this is so obvious. Will you fix this and get it done? And why can't you have a budget on time? And when you have the two-thirds, it basically empowers people to block but doesn't require them to propose anything.
Sure, it's minority rule.
So we do not have, at this moment, 21 days into the new fiscal year and 6 months into the budget process, we do not now have or have had during that entire time a balanced budget proposal from the legislative Republicans. They have not told us, this is what we do to get to a balanced budget. And I think if they had to do it, they'd see how hard it is. And if they had to do it, the public could weigh the choices and say, okay, well, we might have a problem with some of the things you did. When we see what the alternative is, that mm-hmm. looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And I give you credit because this is a game of chicken. When you talk about having to enhance revenues, increase cash flow into the state, you're inevitably talking about raising fees and taxes, and that's the third rail in politics. And so this game of chicken has proceeded, and the new speaker, Karen Bass, together with you and other Democrats, on July 9th, put forward a clear set of recommendations to restore cuts proposed by the governor and essentially restore taxes to the level they were a few years back, absent the car tax. You're being creative by not going in that direction, at least not now. And so your reward is essentially silence from the Republicans, and on the back channels, I'm sure that they got their knives out, and they're blocking the efforts that you have underway, while not, as you say, proposing anything of their own.
Exactly, and we'll hit a money crisis here where we'll literally run out of cash in early to mid-August, and there'll be some lead time with which we would have to borrow against that, and that will be a pressure point, and yet I don't think the thing I always have to educate my constituents to is a quicker budget is not always the better budget, and if you wish for us to hold out so that we hang in there with health care and schools and transit, that might take some time.
Mm-hmm. I've been using my laser printer to get some warrants going here, John.
That's good, and I have to mention, as an aside, I heard it was impeachment week,
yeah.
And I served on the congressional staff of one of the members of the House Judiciary Committee who was one of the authors of one of the four articles of impeachment on Nixon.
Who's that?
Jerry Waldie.
Oh, yeah.
Who is still alive and living in Placerville, and I'm sure at some point he'd be a great guest along with Liz Holtzman on your show.
Well, just as long as you brought it up, do you have an opinion on this? I mean, you're a state legislator, and if you want to duck, you can.
It's tough being realistic, trying to take away from the fact that I don't want anything to get in the way of what I think is going to be a huge tidal wave in November. At the same time, this is a precedent. You don't want to let somebody get away with some of the things that have happened in what are abuses of power, even if the process might not be able to conclude by the end. And so that's where I'm torn. I have no mm-hmm. doubt about the acts, and
yeah.
I have no doubt about needing to act on them. But, geez, in November, we could have a tidal wave, and I'd sure hate to have something get in the way of that.
Well, but I feel it's patronizing when I hear Democratic leaders from Pelosi on down say that, you know, impeachment would risk Democratic fortunes in November. Number one, I don't agree with that. And number two, I think that's the wrong evaluation to be making.
Well, when you look at the polling, and I think one of the hardest things that happens in politics is that many times everybody that's elected spends most of their time running to catch up with where the people are. And I think the people are there on this one.
Mm-hmm.
All the polling I've seen shows that the elected officials aren't necessarily in touch with where the people are. They want to hold somebody accountable for some of the things that have happened here.
And at this point, John, the Democrats have delayed so long, I don't have any aspiration that a trial be held in the Senate and a vote might lead to removal of Bush and or Cheney. What I want is full disclosure of the law-breaking that has occurred and at least a path toward accountability. I realize that impeachment is the primary way to deal with errant public officials and that post-term efforts often fall short for various reasons, including some immunity that exists. I just think we need to really open up the record here and understand what did go on, and I think that would send a message to the nation and the world and future observers that we stood here and said we will not tolerate this.
It's true, and I think history is going to be asking these questions in very clear ways, and the question for those of us that lived through it is, where were you when this was going on?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that makes me crazy is we had this horrible debate on the assembly floor at the time. time of the Iraqi invasion, in which a number of us stood up and took the tough position of saying this wasn't fought through.
Mm-hmm.
And now to hear people say, oh, the intelligence was bad or we couldn't see this, it's like, I'm sorry. There were many of us that stood up and said it without even being privy to the intelligence reports, and I don't think it took a lot of rocket science to do that completely separately from just the maliciousness of false facts or false representations.
Now, didn't the Assembly send an impeachment resolution to the House Judiciary Committee?
It never got there, but there it was introduced, and there were various people that announced their support of it, but it didn't. It wasn't going to be. The Speaker finally said, I'm not going to bring this up unless I have 41 votes, and there weren't 41 full votes to do it.
Okay. Well, let's take a break and come back and talk about the budget battle and some of the proposals that are being discussed, at least by the Democrats, with the Democrats in Sacramento today. John Laird is our guest, Assembly member from the Central Coast and chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. Should you have a question or comment, or you'd like to volunteer to have your taxes increased, call me right now. Toll free, it's 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We do have reports of a new crash in Carmel. Southbound Highway 1 at Carmel Valley Road. Two cars on the shoulder. CHP on the scene in the process of moving that off to surface streets. For Watsonville, Salinas Road at Werner Road. Earlier crash with a couple of cars on the side still clearing up. Injury crash San Martin in the final clearing stages. Two cars off to the side. You have emergency crews on the scene. Highway 17 itself through the Santa Cruz Mountains currently checking and stalling accident free. Oh, and this one just coming in. Morgan Hill northbound 101 after Cochran Road. Watch out for a 3-foot-long steel bar. You have cars swerving to avoid that in the left lane. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Roach season is upon us, Monterey. For maximum protection, don't just call an exterminator. Call the experts at Orkin. Dial 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for your free quote today. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. At the end of August, we'll be live from the Democratic National Convention in Denver. You can help. We're raising some money to cover our costs. Go to peterbcollins.com and click on You Can Help.
Let the fight to make ends meet. Keep the man up on his feet. Holding down his job. And it's sure he can't be bought. Who takes every grand before?
We continue our visit with Assembly Budget Chair John Laird, the Assemblyman from Santa Cruz, Monterey, all along the Central Coast. And, John, will you be at the Democratic Convention?
I will. I'm a delegate for Barack Obama.
We'll come on down to Radio Row. I'm not sure they're going to let us into the hall very often with the delegates, but you can come to Radio Row, and you're invited.
I'd love to do it.
Yeah, good. All right, so let's drill into the budget. July 9th, your team released a set of proposals that essentially would roll back some of the cuts proposed by the governor in education, health and human services, and financial assistance for college students. And it reinstated tax brackets of wealthiest Californians by adding back the 10 and 11% tax brackets that would generate about $5.6 billion. There's a corporate tax loophole proposed to be closed, suspend a tax adjustment for upper-income Californians, and restoring the franchise tax that could generate anywhere from $500 million to $1.5 billion. Are these proposals still standing, John?
They're still in our budget and our proposal. And just to back up briefly,
sure.
I don't want anybody to glaze over, but we have a $17 billion problem, and we propose taking some of the cuts, taking the governor's lottery proposal, and paying off all debt throughout the budget, and then increasing revenue. And in the conference report, they pushed the lottery out to a future year and really tried to do a mix of cuts and revenue. And so that you just described is the revenue package, and it basically restores things that were there before or closes loopholes that have come to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And while everybody has a little hand in it somewhere, it really targets more the upper income people, those that are still doing okay in these times.
Mm-hmm.
and tries to balance it all out. And it's I think that the Republicans in the legislature say that raising the upper income brackets are non-starter, but the question then devolves to what's your alternative.
Mm-hmm.
The governor's budget was predicated on a small amount of revenue, even though it was a gimmick, and he still is cutting schools by $79 per pupil year to year, on top of cutting them by the cost of inflation. And the Republicans, if they had their way, legislative, wouldn't even go that far. They would want probably some further cuts in education. And we restored that, tried to get over $2 billion of the cost of living increase to schools statewide. And it's restoring some of the money for transit, it's restoring the money for health care, and it's restoring some of that money for education. that is in the balance here. That's what we will be able to do, the difference between draconian cuts and just barely treading water.
And, John, you referred to gimmicks. I sometimes call it funny money. I recall Pete Wilson and even Gray Davis used to pretend that hundreds of millions of dollars were just about to descend from Washington to pay for our illegal alien felons in California prisons. The money never shows up. Is there any penalty for using gimmicks in the budget process?
The penalty is not having the money when you actually head into the year and then having to fix it the next year, where you don't start off with as much money because you projected money that never came. And the governor's gimmick this year was to take $1.8 billion that is due for reasons of this budget year but won't be received until the next budget year and credit it to this budget year.
Enron accounting.
Yeah, and the trouble is that technically that works once, then you're $1.8 billion behind every year.
Yeah.
But what was the amount of the reserve that was projected, $1.8 to $2 billion? So actually what it means is that on paper you have a reserve, but in reality you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just go south by $500 million, which is dust in the state budget, you have nothing to fall back on.
About a minute and a half remaining, John. What is your strategy here going forward, and at what point do you think the Republicans might get real?
I don't know. I think when the public feels like they want to demand an alternative, and when people see the alternative, I think they'll move more our way. If their feet is not held to the fire, and people don't understand the price that would be paid in health care, in transit, and in the school system, they can't be allowed to get away with it. And so it's going to take some public interest in this to get us there.
Mm-hmm. And this proposal to sell the lottery, is there a buyer?
Now it's morphed into just bonding against what the growth in the lottery would be. And if we protected schools and took them out of the lottery and put them into Prop 98 and just used it to pay off debt, scaling back the governor's proposal, that might make some sense.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I really wish you the best in resolving this. And have there been any meetings over there in the cigar tent?
There's one that just broke up, although I don't know if it was going to be very long. The Big Five was meeting just a little while ago, and the so-called Big Four met earlier today. So they're here, at least, trying to make a go of it.
I wish you all the best, John, and send up a flare when there's a break in the action, okay?
Will do, Peter, and I'll see you in Denver.
Okay, good. John Laird fighting for you in Sacramento, and it's not easy. We're going to take a break and return to the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome on any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. It's impeachment week, so get behind that. Lines open, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Patty Ross with your real estate update for the Monterey Peninsula for the week of July 21st. Condos, they are actually the best value category right now. Condo prices are always the first to come down when the market turns. All the first-time buyers who want to get their foot in the door with a condo can now buy a house for the same money. But for those who want to downsize, there are great opportunities out there, and here are just a few. The first one is at 34 Spanish Bay Circle in Pebble Beach. This is a three-bedroom, three-and-a-half bath for $2,995,000. This is a private Spanish Bay sanctuary with uncompromising views of the golf course, Pacific Ocean, and beyond. A lush, intimate courtyard leads into the two-story formal entry with soaring ceilings and museum-quality finishes throughout. It's been completely remodeled. This spacious 3,280-square-foot residence has three bedrooms, including two master suites. Its 3,280 square feet feels much more like a house than a condo. It's a really great deal, actually, at $2,995,000. Next, we move over to Del Mesa Carmel. This is at 274, two-bedroom, two-baths for only $789. This is a peaceful cul-de-sac location with beautiful forest and mountain views. You can follow the private park-like entrance past the majestic magnolia tree to this 1,814-square-foot expanded C unit with a separate dining room. The inviting entryway welcomes you into the spacious living room and the expanded family room and den beyond. It's got private forest views from three sides of this lovely home. New carpets and paint. You got to be 55 and older, but lots to do here, from lawn bowling to swimming to tennis. Beautifully maintained grounds. Just if you're ready to downsize, this one is it. Next, we move over to 73 Hacienda Carmel in Carmel Valley. This is a two-bedroom, one-bath at just $415. That's my value pick listing of the week. This is a very desirable adult community on the Monterey Peninsula. You can move right into this remodeled unit and enjoy condo living at its finest. The amenities include a pool, library, clubhouse, exercise room, laundry facilities, convenient parking, and walking trails. Everything is new here, from the wonderful cherry wood floors and skylights to the new countertops, appliances, windows, doors. They even added insulation in the master bedroom. Absolute turnkey and priced to sell, 850 square feet on this one. So, if you're interested in any of these fabulous condos, please call me, 236-4513. Email me at pattyross@kw.com, or check out these and lots more listings on my website, www.pattyrosscarmel.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at FriarTucksRestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tucks, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tucks, great food, great fun.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
In fact, I invite you to call in right now, this very minute. It's the free speech zone. You know, kind of like those fenced-in areas near the Democratic and Republican conventions. Call me while your First Amendment rights are still in effect. It's 888-5-PETER-B,
888-573-8372.
And as you know, the corporate media thinks you either don't need to know or don't want to know that this Friday, there's a hearing on Dennis Kucinich's article of impeachment against Bush in the Judiciary Committee. If you're a listener to this program, even if you have voted Republican, I think you've heard a pretty clear case for impeachment of this president and vice president. Dennis Kucinich has been on the program with us several times, along with activists like David Swanson and legal minds like Elizabeth De La Vega,
As I mentioned, tomorrow, another Elizabeth with a great legal mind, Holtzman, former Democratic congresswoman from New York, who was part of the impeachment inquiry into the Nixon administration, will be with us. Congressman Kucinich on Wednesday, and we are working to get Bruce Fein back on the program, Bruce F-E-I-N. And while Bruce has some dark elements in his history, he worked for Ken Starr to impeach Bill Clinton over a stained dress and some oral sex. Bruce Fein is a stand-up guy, a constitutionalist. He's the one who wrote the play, I, Impeachment, that was presented in San Francisco a month or so ago. And, of course, the problem is we don't know how far John Conyers is willing to go and how far Nancy Pelosi is willing to let Chairman Conyers go. But I want to do everything I can, and I ask you to do everything you can to push for a full-throated hearing on Friday. And then don't let up. Because we have to make it clear to Conyers and the other members of the Judiciary Committee that we are serious. This is not a partisan ploy or a game or trying to get even. This is about our Constitution and the future rule of the United States. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you the names, the members of the Judiciary Committee that I urge you to call, email, fax, and otherwise lobby this week. We need to make them acutely aware that we regard this Kucinich effort as something that's very serious, very important, nonpartisan, and essential to the future of our form of governance. So I encourage you to do that. And to help out a little bit with the cause, we're joined now by an artist named Roger Drowner. And Roger called me up on the phone last week and said, hey, I did some paintings about impeachment. Would you look at them? And I want you to go look at them. Go to rogerart.com. It's so easy. Roger, you know how to spell that. And art. Let's put them all together. rogerart.com. Roger, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter.
So what's the bug up your butt about impeachment? I mean, Bush and Cheney have been doing a fine job. Didn't you just hear me?
Yeah. What you said is great. Right on. That's exactly what these paintings are about. Back in 2000, before the election took place, I started rewriting the Declaration of Independence. And I hadn't read it for a long time. I'm 67, so it would have been, you know, high school and college that I had read about it. And basically, I wanted to get updated on it. So I read it, and then I had to rewrite it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I rewrote it was because I had in my inner being the strong urge to put these paintings down in paint.
Mm-hmm.
And these paintings are, they're not small paintings, they're large. They're 4 feet by 6 feet, mm-hmm. and in that range. So the first one I did was called Treason, the Trial. And basically, it shows the founding fathers and the American people set on a gallows with Bush, Elder Bush, and the generic corporate person and Cheney standing there with Uncle Sam standing behind them.
Mm-hmm. I see it.
Overseeing this process, which is the Constitution. So it was, as an artist, the best way for me to put forward my thinking in my logical terms is through paint.
Mm-hmm.
So I started painting, and I ended up doing 15 of them. One's Paul Revere riding on a horse with the American United States in the background, and he's riding across the United States saying... This basically what you said before I got on. You know, we're destroying this country. Money is buying the elections, and on and on and on. I'm sure your listeners realize, you know, this has just been going on for so long now.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was what I do now is with those paintings, as I take and Photoshop them, and I put words atop. them.
Mm-hmm.
So this way I can take these paintings, which have now been done for 8 years, and bring them up to date. So the latest one is probably the one you saw there with about the Judiciary Committee on July 25th. So I have
now,
that.
Now, Roger, help me navigate your site a little bit, because I'm right under the first impeachment painting with treason at the top that you just described.
Right.
And under that is a link that says more info at rogerart.com. But when I click that, I actually come back to the place where I already am. So where do I find the other 16 paintings?
Okay, go back up to the top of the page of rogerart.com.
Yeah.
And then click on rogerart.
Okay.
And
the first one.
And once you get to there, that will take you to the other paintings. You've got to go down and it goes through an index. And like my studio, it's a mess. but that's art for you. You
uh-huh.
know, it's what I try to do with my website is give a person the opportunity, which isn't available very often to people, to go into an artist's studio and poke around undisturbed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of sit on your couch, grab a beverage, and wander around my studio. And to me, it's logical how to get around it, but I know from comments that it isn't. But
okay, I just need a beverage. I got everything else covered. all right, now I found the one that says, The Reason Treason, Add Your Pick Here, and Impeach Across the Bottom.
Okay, that's with the Dennis Kucinich in it.
Right, Kucinich is in the lower right. I see a Cynthia.
And a number of other people are in there.
I see Cynthia McKinney and Cindy Sheehan.
Absolutely, yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's David Swanson.
Yep.
I see him. He's been a stalwart on this campaign, and we've been supporting him for a long time. Tom Hartman's in there. Colonel
Absolutely.
Ann Wright.
Absolutely.
Quite a few others that, there's Noam Chomsky. Yeah, this is a very interesting collection.
So the point being is some people say I'm a seer. I can predict the future, and that's why I painted these 8 years ago. But that's really a bunch of bunk.
Okay.
Because really what I was doing, I was so irritated with what was going on. And as an artist, I am thinking in the future because I don't have a job, thus I'm broke.
Mm-hmm.
So you can follow my logic here.
Yeah.
But what happens is this is why I had to rewrite the Declaration of Independence, and you can find that in there and reread that too.
Mm-hmm.
But what I had to do is get it down in my head what it was basically that we're doing wrong in this country and what needs to be changed. At the very basic level, and
mm-hmm.
it comes down to the election process.
Well, given that you've been focusing on this for quite a while, what is your hope coming out of this hearing on Friday?
I hope that the United States, the people, the Earth citizens, not only in the United States, but around the world, start standing up for law and order, for law, follow our Constitution. This is our Bible. This is our the basis of how we live
mm-hmm.
and how we work as a society. And if we don't follow that, and if we don't follow through with impeachment and holding our government members accountable, we are nothing. We are nothing as a country. We are just the flip-flopping around, and that's, you know, a fish out of water.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing anything. We're not, and what a horrible example for the children of our planet.
Yeah. Well, Roger, I really appreciate that you took the time to call me and that you've done all this work. I want people to go into your cluttered studio online at rogerart.com and just experience this for themselves. And I want to thank you for being a citizen who took this kind of action and expressed yourself in this manner. Because if we all did that, things would be very different.
Right on, brother.
Thank you.
That's the ticket.
All right, Roger. Great to talk with you, and keep doing it, will you?
Okay, anytime.
RogerArt.com. Check it out for yourself. Now to Tony in Santa Cruz. Hi, Tony. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is the first time, long-time listener.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yes, the last man, the artist, I suggest you do a show of his work on YouTube with a running commentary.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Telling the less sophisticated of us what each painting means. But the reason I called is my end comment is that impeachment can go on beyond the term of the president, and that's probably a shortcut way to get the guy into court for war crimes. The man, Baruba, whatever his name was, a general who made the report on the Abu Ghraib situation.
Yeah, Tugnuba.
He got cashiered out of his position.
Right.
He said, today on either Truth Out, he says that there's no question that anything that the administration's been doing in terms of torture in the prisons and the rendering and all that are war crimes, and that anybody who fosters or does not come out against them, this would include Congress after a certain period of time, and certainly after the 25th of this month, they become collaborators, and they might risk being arrested when they leave the country, city limits or country limits.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that's already been, the people inside the Justice Department have already advised Gonzalez and a few other people, including Cheney's right-hand man, Addington, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Addington,
not to go anywhere but Saudi Arabia or Israel.
Right.
But they risk being arrested. So
you're only welcome in dictatorships, police states, and a few key allies.
Right. And my question is to any politician. I'm a Green Party member, so I'm kind of prejudiced. I think that Congress is divided between the good Germans and the Nazis right now, except for the few that want to do the right thing. But they're still not coming to Kucinich's side and screaming that, Mr. President, we can't believe anything you say. What makes you think we should believe you? I mean, why, you know, because everything you said has been a lie.
Yeah.
That's part of the strategy.
Gotcha, Tony. And by the way, coming up after, we're going to take a break here, and then on the other side, I've got a list of the key people that you can lobby. And, Tony, if you're a first-time caller, why don't you hold on? We'll send you a DVD of Uncounted, the movie about...
I saw it. I've got the DVD. I've seen it.
Okay.
But, yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
We don't even have to spit him. He's already got it. We're going to take a break and return more of your phone calls. Welcome, 888-5-PETER-B, and I will give you the names of members of Congress that you should put on your list to contact before Friday and say, I support impeachment. Don't duck. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We do have reports of a new crash in Carmel. Southbound Highway 1 at Carmel Valley Road. Two cars on the shoulder. CHP on the scene in the process of moving that off to surface streets. For Watsonville, Salinas Road at Warner Road. Earlier crash with a couple of cars on the side still clearing up. Injury crash San Martin in the final clearing stages. Two cars off to the side. You have emergency crews on the scene. Highway 17 itself through the Santa Cruz Mountains currently checking and stalling accident free. Oh, and this one just coming in. Morgan Hill northbound 101 after Cochran Road, watch out for a 3-foot-long steel bar. You have cars swerving to avoid that in the left lane. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Roach season is upon us, Monterey. For maximum protection, don't just call an exterminator. Call the experts at Orkin. Dial 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for your free quote today. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
25 years ago, we played the message back in reverse. Man will spacewalk. Today, 39 years later, we still don't ask who designed the English language so that there is this phenomena of reverse speech. This Saturday at 9 p.m., the Bob Oliver Quantum Leap on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. A couple of minutes away, Gary Chu is going to join us, our official movie previewer and reviewer. Talk about the new HBO series, which is called Generation Kill. But first, Alice from Humboldt, one of my favorite callers. Hello, Alice.
Hello, Peter.
How are you doing today?
Okay.
Good. What's on your mind, Alice?
Well, America needs this impeachment. I just want to add my name and ask everyone that can to call a Congress member and tell him to support impeachment.
All right. Well, Alice, stay right here because I want to read a list of key people who should be contacted by our listeners. And here are some of the people on the Judiciary Committee we think will support impeachment. Wexler, Jackson Lee of Texas, Baldwin of Wisconsin, Keith Ellison of Minnesota, Steve Cohen, not sure where he's from, Hank Johnson, I think Tennessee, Maxine Waters of Los Angeles, Luis Gutierrez of Chicago, Anthony Weiner, I think he's from New York, and Zoe Lofgren from San Jose here in California. And these are people we need to push to support Dennis Kucinich because it's going to be difficult for him to get past the Democratic machinery there that appears intended on, you know, just allowing him to have a moment and not a real open process. And what we need to do is fire up these other members of the Judiciary Committee so that this comes out of that committee like a freight train and can't be stopped. I think that's our best bet to see accountability for the misdeeds of this administration, Alice.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do. Let's start dialing. Thanks, Alice.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Now to Andy in New York. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I addressed a book to you today, and it's going to go out in the mail any day now.
Oh, great.
So look forward to that.
Yeah, can't wait to get it. Yeah, I was listening to your program last week, I believe, and you had an individual talking about Fannie and Freddie. I think he was a UCLA professor with a Goldman Sachs background.
That's right. Uh-huh.
I just thought it kind of disingenuous the way he was talking about Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's written a book called Obamanomics, and I did find it a little ironic that here's a Goldman Sachs guy who's talking about economic justice, but he says the important thing is he's a former Goldman Sachs guy.
Right. These Goldman Sachs guys just seem to infiltrate all over the place and seem to continue the same economic policies, you know, more scorched earth against the middle class, but... Anyway, my understanding is early in the Obama campaign, the number one contributing corporation of individual contributions was from Goldman Sachs. He essentially bankrolled his campaign early on.
Well, I think the early bundled money, yes, did come from Wall Street, and I think it explains why he hasn't been, fighting real hard on behalf of consumers and those who may have been subjected to predatory lending practices.
Absolutely. He is... You know, U.S. Wall Street stamped, you know.
Well, the thing I want to suggest, Andy, is I'm a big fan of The New Yorker, and last week we intentionally ducked what I thought was the distracting commentary over the cover. And I got the magazine and had a chance to read it over the weekend. There's 14,000 words there that Ryan Lizza wrote about Barack Obama's history in Chicago.
And it's fascinating. And, for example, I learned for the first time that when he first ran for the Illinois State Senate, he broke the heart of a mentor who had said, Barack, I'm vacating the seat. You want to run for it? And he said yes. And then she came back a little while later and said, whoops, Jesse Jackson Jr. is running for the congressional seat I was thinking about. Mind if I take this back? He not only said no, but his operatives got her off the ballot, and he ran unopposed. I didn't know that. And it's also interesting to see the way he's navigated the Chicago machine politics, mostly successfully. But I do think it's worth taking a look, because what you're going to come away with is, oh, Barack Obama, he's just another politician. And he's better than John McCain, and in my book, he's still better than Hillary Clinton. But he's not our savior, and he's not a knight in shining armor. Andy, I got to run, but I thank you for calling, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Gary Chu joins me now. He reviews films, and you can check out his work at TulsaTVMemories.com. Gary, how are you today?
Peter B., I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Well, good. I don't have time to talk to you about the onerous charges that HBO puts on our cable bills to watch it. but there is this new series called Generation Kill. And I got to watch about two-thirds of episode one. What's your take on this? It's kind of interesting.
Well, actually, Peter B., if we'd been getting news coverage on Iraq like we did on Vietnam many years ago, there would be less reason to watch Generation Kill. So I recommend that the folks watch it. It sort of falls into the category of lots of these films that had to deal with the Middle East flare-up of the past several years that people have been eschewing, as you would say, have avoided watching. And I hope that more people will watch this on HBO. Back in the World War II days, I can just remember as a little boy how excited everyone got about watching an old movie like Mrs. Miniver with Greer Garson and Walter Pidgeon about Nazi bombs dropping on 1942 England. Well, people don't seem to be caring much about what's going on with Iraq these days, and it's unfortunate they should see this, because you may have noticed in the first episode there are a whole list of things that the troops are short shrift with.
Right, they had to buy their own. They had to buy their own batteries for their night vision equipment.
Right, they had to fix up the their Humvees with their own money.
Right,
and also there was no armor support for them when they first moved into hostile territory. I would think maybe Scott Dick down at Monterey would have some things to say about that too.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, also there's another thing about quite a bit of racism in the military. There's a current thing going on right now that you may notice too in the news and the other areas. So many female military personnel are disappearing, some of them being murdered. Mm-hmm. There was a woman today who's found hurt. All of this stuff is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And this series is kind of weird, and I'm rather unsettled by it, but I think it's very well done. But I'm done by the guys who did the HBO fantastic show called The Wire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm going to continue watching it, because there's enough verite in there that rings true with me to get me through the high testosterone scenes. Gary Chu, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
Keep smiling.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
It's been weeks, but government food safety investigators think they're finally on the trail of the salmonella that's made more than 1,200 people sick. The new clue is not a tomato. It's a contaminated jalapeno pepper. CBS News correspondent Harold Arenstein reports.
The FDA told reporters on a conference call it finally has a real lead.
We've had a significant break in the salmonella investigation.
The FDA's David Acheson said the suspicious pepper came from a distribution plant in McAllen, Texas.
One of the jalapeno pepper samples has tested positive.
The new FDA warning applies only to fresh peppers.
This recommendation doesn't include processed, cooked, or pickled jalapeno peppers. It is just related to fresh peppers.
He said the pepper was grown in Mexico, but said that doesn't necessarily mean Mexico was the source of the outbreak. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
The timetable debate dominated Barack Obama's visit to Baghdad today. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
Barack Obama brought his troop withdrawal plan to Iraq after one of the quietest weekends of the war. No Americans killed, five wounded. Obama, who has pledged to withdraw all combat troops within 16 months, took an aerial tour with General David Petraeus, the commander who insists withdrawals cannot be based on timetables.
Iraqi leaders suggest they agree with Obama's plan, which does not sit well at the White House, but spokeswoman Dana Perino spoke today of an aspirational date for all combat troops to be out.
We agree it would be conditions-based. We agree it would be flexible. We agree it is not an arbitrary date for withdrawal.
John McCain, visiting former President Bush in Kennebunkport, Maine, called on Obama to acknowledge the surge was successful.
Senator Obama could not have gone to Iraq as he did because he opposed the surge. It was the surge that succeeded. It was the surge that is winning this war.
It's been years, but former Bosnian Serb leader Radovan Karadzic has been captured in Serbia, and he's likely to be turned over to the UN War Crimes Tribunal. Clint Williamson, the State Department's ambassador at large for war crimes, calls him an evil man.
Radovan Karadzic was ideologically committed to the genocide of the people of Bosnia. He was the one who drafted.